is the Don and Mike Show. Would you like to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? Well, then how about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Isn't that something? Thank you, and God bless.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
Good afternoon. Your question, you're on with Professor Beverly. Your question, please.
Yes, I have to say that living in New York for... Let me turn this down. Hold on a second. I'm sorry.
Okay, fine. It's 43 minutes after the hour. We have another 7 minutes and then we're out of here. Are you back?
Yes, I'm a lifelong New York City resident. As far as being poor or feeling poor, I have to say that one thing that has made me feel poorer, probably since about last year sometime, is the fact that something has been ripped away from New York City, which I think should be brought back immediately, and that, of course, is the Don and Mike Show.
Oh, come on. Okay, thank you very much, Professor Andrew, and I'd like to thank you, including, by the way, our new callers. And that includes the Belcher. Very funny. Ha, 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 ha.
The Don and Mike Show.
Welcome to the Best of Don and Mike, here brought to you here on the Western One Radio Network. Best of Don and Mike. Don and Mike are on vacation for a little while. So until then, you've got me, the legendary Joe Archer, with you on this fine, fine, what is it, Thursday? Thursday afternoon. Wow, the week goes by fast. Anyway, I've got a big, heaping, steaming plate full for you today, so we're going to have a good time, and you know, it's got to be the Best of Don and Mike. Because Mike is going to Atlantic City. It's the Best of Don and Mike on the Westwood One Radio Network.
Mike's going to Atlantic City tonight.
Ah. You know, the cardinal rule is to keep them playing and keep them coming back. The longer they play, the more they lose.
Yep.
In the end,
we get it all.
We get it all.
Yeah, I know. I know, Bobby. It's Bobby D.
Bobby D. Color me envious.
You know, I just, as I said to you in the office, just this one weekend, please, just once.
Now, hold on. You know what? I didn't say this to you in the office.
Okay.
You have had weekends when you have gone to Atlantic City and or Vegas and or other Indian places, and you have won. You have been a big winner.
I'm not going to dispute you.
A big money winner.
You're Don. I am not going to dispute you.
Your money, baby.
But I'm going to tell you this. I have been on what would be described in some circles
as a cold streak.
Mm. That is what's been my luck recently. I will tell you the last four times that I have visited either some of the finer casinos in Las Vegas or Atlantic City or even Charlestown races in West Virginia.
The cooler.
I will tell you, I have not had the best of luck, and it has been frustrating me. The
only an hour away.
Slots.
Only an hour away. Great news. Only an hour away. Why go to Las Vegas? We got a slot machine in Charlestown, West Virginia.
Plenty of food. All big, you can eat.
Big buffet. All the food touching each other.
Italian, Chinese, and sandwiches.
Yellow mold. Penny slot.
I'm
go to Atlantic City tonight.
Ah. Casino, the cardinal rule is to keep them playing and keep them coming back. The longer they play, the more they lose.
Yep.
In the end,
we get it all.
We get it all.
Yeah, I know. I know, Bobby. Right. It's Bobby D. Bobby D.
Color me envious.
You know, I just, as I said to you in the office, just this one weekend, please. Just once.
Now, hold on. You know what? I didn't say this to you in the office.
Okay.
You have had weekends when you have gone to Atlantic City and or Vegas and or other Indian places, and you have won. You have been a big winner.
I'm not going to dispute you.
A big money winner.
Don, I am not going to dispute you.
Your money, baby.
But I'm going to tell you this. I have been on what would be described in some circles as a cold streak.
Mm.
That is what's been my luck recently.
Herpes, 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 herpes. Oh, let me see. We have callers from the great state of Maine.
Good.
Virginia. Nevada. California. And another one from California. Five callers, all of them men. One of them, whose mother has herpes.
All right.
And now it's up to us to guess. So let's go right to the herpetic zone. And talk to our first contestant from the great state of Maine. Here is Mike. Hi there, Mike.
Don and Mike.
Hi, welcome to My Mom Has Herpes. My mom has herpes. Herpes, 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 herpes. What is your mom's name, Mike?
Betty.
And Mike, how did you come to find out that your mom has this condition?
It's rather odd, but my father told me.
And tell us about that.
It was, how long ago was it? I was probably 12, early teens. And he liked to joke around, and it came up.
Well, tell us exactly what happened.
They were split. I honestly don't know how it came up in conversation.
But somehow you found out.
See, right. Now, here's one thing about playing a game like this.
Uh-huh.
There's a chance that the guy is like Kelly Pickler, that this guy is just really kind of gay.
Well, and might I, let me offer this.
And also, a strategy, correct?
Could be a strategy where he is playing dumb and pretending I really don't know to make us think that, he's lying.
Right.
Which is why I want to ask more questions. I mean, we have time to put every one of our contestants through the ringer.
Under the line.
Right. So let's ask very specifically, once it came out, however it came out, did you ever mention it to your mom?
Good question.
And what happened when you did?
Absolutely not.
Hold on, just a moment. If, in fact, your mom has herpes, and we select you, and you say, that's right, my mom does have herpes.
She's going to be called and say, you're on a show where your son is saying you have herpes. Would you like to come on and corroborate that? And if she, you haven't spoken to her about it, well, then you can't win.
You need to be right.
So your mom.
We're not going to ambush your mom on a radio show. We can't do that.
So your mom must not have herpes.
I suppose there's a possibility that she doesn't, but.
Hold on, there's a
possibility.
Did you say there's a possibility your mom doesn't have herpes?
Yeah, there's a possibility. I didn't ask her, so I'm not going to ask her that.
Okay, you know what?
Well, you don't understand the game. You're disqualified.
No. I believe that he's just going to be our first dumb contestant. This could be a ruse.
He says he heard it from his dad.
This could be a ruse. Hold on. Let me just check one thing, although this could probably give him the big 86 added.
John.
Hi, Yanni.
Hello.
Now, and we should probably not ask specific questions about calling the mom, but just tell me this. Whoever's mom has herpes, did we clear it with them that we'd be calling the mom?
Yes, we did.
Okay,
good. And the mom knows that?
That I don't know.
Well, but at least
it doesn't matter because when we call, we say,
we
have to get the mom's mom and let her know why we're calling
her. I think that guy was lying. But we'll leave him in the game.
Don, it is, once again, could be a strategy.
Right. Could be.
I'm playing like an idiot, guys. Of course my mom knows. She'll come on with you.
Hello there. Oh, here is William.
William,
what do we have for William? William from Virginia. Hello, William.
Hey, buddy.
Hi there. So your mom's got the big H.
Yes, she does.
How'd you find out about it, William?
Well, when I was growing up, she used to always get sick, and my dad would never tell us why. but she would just pretty much be in the bed for a couple of days. And I didn't know. My dad told us that it was migraines. And then when I got a teenager and I started dating, I accidentally got a girl pregnant. And it was at
Good for you.
And it was at that. And it was at that time she had sit down and talk to me because she was concerned about me catching diseases and AIDS and anything else like that.
Sure.
And she told me that she didn't want me to fall into her footsteps. And then she was the one who told me about it.
Huh. So how did she say it to you?
Well, she basically told me, started by telling me the different diseases like AIDS. She said you can catch AIDS.
Right.
And,
yeah, but when you got to herpes, how did she tell you she had it?
Well, she told me she caught it from when she was actually growing up, when she was like a teenager. She said she had it her whole life, but she never told us about it because, you know, she felt like we was too young to know about it.
So I don't know enough about it to, it can actually put you, it can make you bedridden?
I'm sorry?
Your mom said, you said your mom was bedridden because of herpes?
You've got it deep inside you,
Mike. One of the symptoms of herpes is it drains your energy.
Okay.
It usually comes on a spell.
Do you have it too, William?
Oh, no.
All right. Sounds like the vapors to me.
No.
But then again, that's just me. I love quoting Gone with the Wind, whatever I can.
The vapors.
And also Turning Japanese, a great band. has your mom had an outbreak recently?
She usually has, first of all, herpes, the outbreak usually comes upon because of stress. I don't live with her no more, so I don't know if she's had one currently. But I know when I lived with her, she would have one like every 6 months.
So she's very open about it.
And it's, yeah, she's open
source.
About it once she told me about it, that it was usually brought on because of stress or work-related issues or whatever. But when it happened, I know all the time she would become not weak, but she would just come kind of like.
Does she use any cleaning products around the house that have lemon in them?
Oh.
Not to my knowledge.
Good.
Okay.
Good.
Thank you, dude. Hold on, please. That's our second contestant. His name is William.
Thank you for the groan, Rob. You gave me what I wanted.
And now here is Mike from Las Vegas. Hello, Mike from Nevada. Mike.
How you guys doing?
Doing very well. Now, once again, whenever we get a call from Vegas or from Reno.
It's a gamble.
You have to thank Mike.
Okay.
Yeah. You have to think there's a possibility of truth.
Right.
Because, you know. Las Vegas is the city that herpes built. you know,
and two pills a day are a hassle.
Showgirls.
I thought
and
that
everything.
Was Baltimore.
And, you know, when I think about herpes.
Las Vegas is calling.
Right. Anyway, who knows if this guy's on the level or not. Let's find out now with the Inquisition. Mike, when did you find out your mom has herpes?
Oh, I think I was like 17 or 18, right around there.
How'd that happen?
Well. You know, as teenagers and being in Vegas, you tend to have a lot of girlfriends.
Okay.
And I was one of those guys. And I thought I'd contracted a sexually transmitted disease and talking to my mom.
My crap detector is just that's bursting out of my brain.
But just let him finish, Mike.
Yeah, let's hear what the
just let him finish.
All right, go ahead, finish, Mike.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
So you're a high school kid. You get a lot of stink. You're worried about catching something. And
no. I thought I caught something, so I went to talk to my mom about it.
Sure.
And, you know, not having a dad there, who else are you going to talk to?
All right.
And she says, you know, you'd better start wearing condoms.
Right.
And I said, well, you know, I'm not planning on getting anybody pregnant. And she says, well, you might get what I got. And I, you know, what's that? And she says, well, I have herpes.
Was it a shocking moment for you?
I'll tell you what, it's something that we don't ever talk about. At that time, I actually started wearing condoms every single time from then on because I didn't want anybody else in my family to have to admit that.
I beg you, hold on a second.
Mm-hmm. See, once again, that's confusing.
Now, I think it's important to note that whoever we select, if the mom doesn't have... If we select the wrong guy, if they fool us, you get $250.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And the Tom Harpetic, Tom Petty
Tom Harpetic.
Yeah, Tom Harpetic tickets. Mm-hmm. If, in fact, we do pick the right guy, we'll still call the mom. And if the mom's a good sport, we'll give the mom a valuable prize
good,
as well.
Exactly. Good. All right. Very good.
Let me just say, I don't know what you guys think.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, that last guy... He's got a real good line of BS. Just the fact that you don't believe him.
The Vegas guy?
And the fact that he was kind of all over the place.
Think he might be doing the strategy?
Yeah.
Anything's possible.
Just, you know.
Sure.
I'm
not...
LOL, ROFL.
Las Vegas bluffer.
Right.
He might be gambling.
Okay. Well,
do you think any of the guys are telling the truth yet,
Mike? Not so far, yeah.
None so
far? I think there's a chance William might be.
Yes. All right, here is a guy named Brent from California. Brent.
Hey, Don and Mike, how you guys doing today?
Hey, we're doing great. Thanks for coming on the show. So your mom's got herpes.
Yes, she does.
How'd you find out, Brent?
I walked in the bathroom to get some Advil out of the old medicine chest, and there sat the old Valtrex, the herpes depressant.
Valtrex.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Now, here's a guy who either did his research.
Right.
Or is true. So you walk in. Now.
Walk in. I got a headache. Walk in.
Okay, let me just stop you for a second. Mm-hmm. Ask you this. I don't know. I've seen the ads. I wouldn't know the product. If I saw Valtrex, I might think it was a sinus thing.
Well, don't they advertise on TV?
Yeah.
Or is that some of those?
Yeah.
The herpes medicines, unlike other drug companies, the herpes medicines are usually pretty upfront about the product on TV.
Yeah, but I guess my point is, at least from my vantage point, I wouldn't know the brand name unless it like said real big for herpes.
Right.
So how did you know the brand name was a herpetic medicine?
I watch a lot of late-night TV, and they run that damn commercial constantly.
Mm-hmm. All right, so does your mom know that you know?
Yes, she does. I confronted her about it.
And
we have a really open family, so.
And she's cool about telling you?
Oh, yeah.
So what did she say to you?
Me and my mom are like brother and sister. You know, we just have that type of relationship.
So what did she say to you?
She wasn't too happy that I found out. I know that much. Uh-huh. She wasn't too into talking about it too much, but she said it was just a mistake she had when she was a young girl.
But now, hold on. How many brothers or sisters do you have?
One brother and one sister.
Any born after you?
Yeah, I'm the youngest.
You're the youngest. Are there any people old enough to maybe have that in the house?
Oh, yeah. No, my brother and sister are both moved out.
Oh, they moved out. Okay. All right, so you confirmed it, and she confirmed it for you.
Oh, yeah, she confirmed it.
You looked at the name.
Brent, do you have it?
What's that?
Do you have herpes?
Do not. I hope not.
Have you taken a test?
Not in the last 6-8 months.
Not in the last 6-8. Have you been with many partners, Brent?
Yes, I have.
Have you used protection, Brent?
Yes, I use protection.
Okay. I like the giggle after that.
Uh-huh. Is your mom covered with herpes, or are they just primarily in one area?
I've never seen them. So.
Never seen them.
Now,
all right, very
okay,
credible.
Thank you. Hold mm-hmm. on.
Very credible answer.
All right, here is our final contestant, my man, Otis, from California. Hello, Otis.
Howdy doody.
Howdy doody.
Howdy doody.
Here's a greeting.
So, Otis.
Howdy doobie.
Otis, do your mom have herpes?
Yes, my mom has herpes.
How the hell did you find that out, Otis?
Because I got herpes.
Oh! From mom? Okay. Well, wait a minute. You didn't get it from your mom, did you?
They're not hereditary.
Yeah, they are.
Oh, are they really?
I mean, if you give birth,
mother to son,
they'll really try to avoid. Like, why they do like a C-section.
I did not know.
I mean, it can be.
Oh my
god! It's not hereditary.
I've got to call Bart immediately.
It's not hereditary, but I believe it can be very dangerous for a baby to come through the birth canal if there's an outbreak.
All right, so you've got it.
Yeah, and that's it.
Really? How's that working out for you?
You didn't get it from, like, when you were born, did you?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Explain that process to us.
Well, I started, you know, I was born with it. My mom had an outbreak when I was born, and I didn't know anything about it until I was about 8 or 10. Sure.
Yes, and what happened
then? Well, I had outbreaks on my lips, in my mouth, on my eyes. I mean, it was bad, and I didn't know what it was.
When you're young, isn't it dangerous?
Isn't it dangerous always?
Yeah,
totally. Isn't it always dangerous?
You could have gone blind.
See,
I think you
should have herpes in your eyes.
Yeah.
Well, that's why you should always wash your hands, you dummy. You know, your hands are somewhere, and then you rub your eyes, for God's sake.
Well, if he was a baby when he got it, I mean, he probably couldn't control that.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, I know. I'm just trying to move things along.
Just giving Otis a hard time.
What medicine do you take, Otis?
Otis?
Good question.
Yeah.
What kind of medicine, what medication are you on?
No, I don't take it.
What do you mean you don't take it?
I don't have to take any medication. They just come out every once in a while.
I've had them for so long
that all the nerve endings are already, you know, wasted out.
That must be a real eyesore.
You know what would be great?
You get a sore in your eyes.
You know who I'd love to have? Wouldn't you love to just have like a medical doctor on the side that would be able to really ask these questions?
See, that wouldn't make it any fun, though.
Yeah, there wouldn't be any challenge.
And I know Buzz
Otis is doing a pretty good job.
This is why Buzz, I believe, is cheating at this game, which is okay.
Right.
Are you going to the computer and like...
I've done a little research to see if our contestants have done a little research.
See, Buzz is doing some herpetic research, like Googling and stuff.
Well, he's got the access to that big old computer over there.
And that's okay, but just know that we may want to follow Buzz's lead when it comes to the voting. Otis, you say you don't take anything at all for it.
No.
Have you been to a doctor? Have they suggested anything on how to deal with this?
Well, when I was younger, I mean, there was nothing.
How long ago, Otis?
It's been 28 years.
28 years. Okay.
How old are you now, Otis?
28 years old.
Mm-hmm. It's been 28 years. And you don't ask physicians about that?
I already know what it is.
Do they itch?
Yeah, but Otis, I'm talking about like controlling, so you don't get any outbreaks anymore. Well, you said you do get outbreaks, though.
Then why wouldn't you go see that?
Very rarely.
But very rarely, I mean, it still is, if there's
how
something
often?
You could take.
How often is very rarely?
Once every couple of years.
Every couple of years.
There's a big party when the herpes come out? Do you have a guy? I mean, do you at least put calamine lotion on or something like that? I mean, like the poison ivy stuff, you know, the pink stuff?
Now, when I pop them, and then they ooze a little bit, and I wipe them with tissues, and then they dry up, and they go away.
Right. You make some stucco, you can make some nice little action figures out of your herpes pus. Your herpes pus.
I'm going to barf.
Little ball. Guy's walking around with a little ball of herpes pus in his hand.
Wow.
Okay, hold on a second there, Otis. Well, Mike, that's the field for my mom has herpes. Let's review.
And incidentally, you know, we didn't mention any of the mom's names, and I think for the sake of trying to get the moms to come on with us, we should probably keep names out of it.
Right. We had Mike from Maine.
Right.
William from Virginia.
Uh-huh.
Mike from Nevada.
Right.
Brent from California.
Right.
And my man Otis... also from California.
Now comes the tough part.
Let's see.
Is Rob voting? Is that your voting, Rob?
Well, I'm very sure.
See, if Rob...
I'm with Rob, too.
Here's the thing. If all four of us vote, we have the chance of giving away $1,000. Will that screw up our budget? No, we'd be okay.
Yes, sir.
All right, here comes DJ... Dumb Joe with the answer.
So if we all vote and we get it all wrong, and we all get it wrong...
You know what? It's $1,000. What the hell?
Right.
Okay, let's do this. Whenever
you're ready, you just open this envelope.
Okay, Joe came in like Karnak with the envelope. Thank you, Joe. Thank you very much. I will vote... Ooh. Ha, Christ. You know it ain't easy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go with... Mike from Las Vegas.
Contestant number three.
Number three is my choice.
Mm-hmm. I am Mike. Going to go with contestant number two, William.
William.
Buzz.
Unless he did research to bluff us, I'm also with number two, William. That's
William.
My choice.
Number two, William. Mm-hmm. And Rob.
I locked in number two early on.
Yep, Rob said number two.
All right, so three of you guys think it's number two.
Right.
I think it's number three.
Very good. And now you're opening the envelope. The contestant, the mother with the actual herpes is...
Duncan Wagner's torch.
Oh, you already won the hair product.
The guy from Vegas!
Wow!
Mike! I'm the winner!
Wow. You are the winner! Wow!
I'm the winner! Now what this means is that, let me see, the guy from Virginia...
Uh-huh.
No, he's the winner, because he's going to win
$750. Wow.
For fooling Mike.
That's William.
Fooling Buzz. Fooling
Way
Rob.
To go, William. Way to go. Good research. Yes. Nice job, William.
Hold on, William, before we talk to you. Rob, see if you can get the mom on the phone, please.
Okay.
We have the number.
You
got
to tell her what it's about, too.
Okay. Just talk, we have her son.
Okay.
You made the call.
Put her on the radio. William, congratulations.
Thanks, buddy. Thanks.
Great job.
My ex-girlfriend had herpes, so I knew all the symptoms.
Ah!
William, you fooled Buzz, you fooled me, you fooled Rob.
You wove a great tale.
Well, it's $250 a guy. That's $750. Plus, you win the tickets to go see Tom Petty and the Herpes.
Woo-hoo!
At the Nissan Pavilion. Friday, April 21 at 10 a.m. Thank you very much.
No, I'm a black man. Well, I know about Tom Petty.
Exactly.
Put your Confederate flag on the back of the truck and head over there.
That is a white show, isn't
yeah.
it? You can sell them on eBay.
They're going to lick me up their joint.
Yeah, you might be right. You might be right.
I ain't going to no Tom Petty concert. Sell them.
Well, thanks, guys.
Say.
Hang on.
Where is Conway West?
I don't know. You tell me, boss. I don't know, master.
Here we go.
Good for you, William. Hold on. Enjoy your dough.
Wow.
Enjoy your cake.
Good
wow.
job. $750 for William.
Now, let's see.
Big winner on Does Your Mom Have Herpes?
For Mike, for Brent, and for my man Otis, we will have the Tower Records $50 gift card.
Nice.
For all your latest movies and music, visit Tower Records and Tower.com. Tower Records, it's life played loud. And now let's go to our big winner. Okay. Let's go to Mike. Hey, Mike.
Yes.
Mike, well, you don't win anything from me.
Only call her mom.
Because I got you. And now,
right. I know.
Now let's get your mom on the
air. So how much does Mike win, Don?
Zero.
Zero.
But his mom will get a prize.
Okay, very good.
His mom.
Please take care of my mom. Thank you.
We'll be very nice to
you,
Mom.
We will. And remember, she will only go as Mom.
Let's say hi to Mom. Hello, Mom.
Hi, Mom.
Welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hi, now, we have your retarded son, Mike, on the phone with us.
And, Mom, we need a confirmation.
He's mildly retarded.
We need to know, do you, ma'am, have herpes?
I do.
Oh, Mike! Mike, that means, well, it doesn't mean anything for you, but it's good news for your mom.
Now, listen, we're playing a game called My Mom Has Herpes, and I guess that you are the mom who has herpes.
I am impressed.
Thank you, Mike.
I truly am.
So, your son does not win a prize. Oh, but ma'am, hold on just one second, Mom. For you, we have $100 in cash.
Just for having herpes.
And,
oh, Michael. And that's the best thing I ever got.
And the NYPD Blue Season 3 on DVD. Right
very
along
cool.
with Dennis Franz for the groundbreaking. It's an outbreak of prizes for you. The groundbreaking Emmy Award-winning police drama set to stand for TV. It's NYPD Blue on it today on DVD. $100, I believe that's 10 Valtrex copays.
Yeah, and Mike, your mom gets all the prizes, Mike, so don't please don't be sore. All right?
No.
Mom, if you'll hold on a second, we'll get your address. We'll send you out the... You know what? Why am I cheaping out here? Mom, you get $250 just like
you did. Yeah, $250 for you, Mom.
There you go.
The anonymous mom.
There you go.
Congratulations.
Now, would you like to talk to your son for a second?
I think I'll just kick his fanny later. But
kick his fanny.
Honey.
Okay. Well, thank you. Mom, hold on for your money.
Uh-huh.
Hold on just a second. And Mike, well, sorry I got you, but thank you for playing the game.
Oh, you're welcome. And tell my mom if you can. I love her.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
you tell her.
You'll be talking.
Yeah,
you need to talk to her later.
You're
a good son.
Okay.
Don't kiss her, though.
Bye-bye.
Wow, good game.
Not with an open mouth, for sure. Closed mouth kiss for mom.
You blistered that game.
That's pretty good. My mom has herpes. Yeah. My mom has herpes.
What did it with Mike? What was the clincher? Because really, we all thought it was a slam dunk with William.
I swear to God. Because he was from Las Vegas.
Oh,
okay.
You said that at the beginning.
Everything bad is from... Every time we do a contest that's my mom has herpes, my mom is a whore, my dad is a garbage man, whatever it is.
We do get winners from Las Vegas.
Las Vegas is calling.
Las Vegas is calling.
Good strategy.
Don and Mike, go to break, and we'll be right back after these messages.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
It's just a job, really, you know, something to keep me moving. My real passion is my hobby.
Really? What's that?
I work with retards.
Isn't that a little politically incorrect?
Well, the hell with that. No one's going to tell me who I can and can't work with, right?
No, I mean...
We got this one kid, Mongo. He's got a forehead like a drive-in movie theater, but he's a good so we don't bust his chops too much. So one day, Mongo gets out of his cage.
But they keep him in a cage?
Well, it's just an enclosure.
No, but they keep him confined.
Right, yeah.
That's bullshit.
Well, that's what I said. So I went out and I got him a leash.
A leash?
Yeah, one of those ones you can hook onto the clothesline, and he can run back and forth, and there's plenty of room for him to dig and play. That kid is really blossomed.
The Don and Mike Show.
It's the best of Don and Mike.
And welcome back to the best of Don and Mike. You know, in that last segment, we had a little bit of a glitch. Back in the old days when we used tapes, glitches weren't as heart-stopping as when you have digital glitches. Because when you have a digital glitch, what you end up is this. So, looks like the glitches have been fixed. Oh, by the way, my bad. Who am I? The legendary George are with you. What are you listening to? The best of Don and Mike. So let's get back into it. Now we're going to reset the beginning of the show. And we've got... And I'm glad we could reset this. It's Mike's preparing to go to Atlantic City. And you know what that bodes for later in the show? Mike returns from Atlantic City, so you're going to want to listen and learn from others' mistakes. It's the best of Don and Mike. Mike in Atlantic City on the Westwood One Radio Network. Jump around.
Mike's going to Atlantic City tonight.
Ah. In the casino, the cardinal rule is to keep them playing and keep them coming back. The longer they play, the more they lose.
Yep.
In the end,
we get it all.
We get it all.
Yeah, I know. I know, all. Bobby. All right. It's Bobby D.
Bobby D. Color me envious.
You know, I just, as I said to you in the office, just this one weekend, please, just once.
Now, hold on. You know what? I didn't say this to you in the office.
Okay.
You have had weekends.
Yeah.
And you have gone to Atlantic City and or Vegas and or other Indian places, and you have... One, you have been a big winner.
I'm not going to dispute you.
Money winner.
Don, I am not going to dispute you.
Your money, baby.
But I'm going to tell you this. I have been on what would be described in some circles as a cold streak.
Mm.
That is what's been my luck recently. I will tell you the last four times that I have visited either some of the finer casinos in Las Vegas or Atlantic City. Or even Charlestown races in West Virginia.
The cooler.
I will tell you, I have not had the best of luck. And it has been frustrating me. The
only an hour away.
Slots.
Only an hour away. Great news. Only an hour away. Why go to Las Vegas? We got slot machine in Charlestown, West Virginia.
Plenty of food. All big, you can eat.
Big buffet. All the food touching each other. Italian,
Chinese, and sandwiches.
Yellow mold. Penny slots.
I want to win.
You see, they have a...
You know, you mentioned that I have won in the past.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But the real truth of the matter, if you add... Let's use even the last 2 years. As our time frame.
Okay.
Now, in that 2 years, you know that I've called you. I may have called you when I was down there on one occasion where I had won big.
Yes,
and,
you did.
I called you because I was so excited. But in the overall picture, if you're talking about, you know, here's the win column, here's the lose column, the overall picture would tell you that the loss column is way the hell up here.
And all right. So,
which is the way it is for everybody. I mean, for most people. I'm sure there are exceptions to any rule, just like there are people that play lotto and win. But the majority of us, you know, you know, like Robert De Niro says in the movie Casino,
mm-hmm.
yes.
You lose. That the goal is to keep them playing, and what am I doing? I am continuing to play. I am continuing to play.
Sure.
But I am hoping.
And Mike.
And I'm not being cocky.
Can
I'm not
I just
saying
point
that.
Something else out now that I think about it?
Yes.
You were a big loser when you played poker at my house about 3 weeks ago.
Let's say that's five times then.
Wow.
If we count that, that's five. And that was a significant amount of change that I lost.
Well, you lost 60 bucks that day, right?
Did you?
Did I lost about 20.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Well, I don't feel as bad. But...
I mean, we went through that. Right. I think that, well, that's a shock. Rob was the big money winner.
Shock.
Bob won a lot of money.
Buzz lost all of his money that 60, he came with.
60-something.
But I'm glad you mentioned that because it still counts, doesn't it? It still counts. So that counts on the losing streak.
Yeah.
But see, here's a fallacy. It's not because I've had like five losing trips that all of a sudden, hey, this means because of that the odds will be... No, the odds will not be in my favor.
No.
The odds will be just like anything else. I could win, I could lose.
Now... When you're going to do this weekend.
I don't do what you do and what Rob does. I'm not able to...
Walk
I have a limit that I can lose. I do that. That I am smart in that regard. You know, I'm not betting the college fund or anything like
good,
that.
Good for you.
Wink, wink. But
let's say that.
But I do. But I do.
It would depend on the college.
Exactly.
Grabs of your in states, maybe.
Uh-huh. When I get excited is if I win when I first get there, because we refer to that in gambling circles, Don, as house money.
And that's when you should quit.
That's when I should walk away.
If you get there and
but
you...
I mean, what's the point? I'm down there. I want what I enjoy you doing when I'm there.
Okay, no, if you go there and you hit a big one right away, you take Barbie out all weekend. I mean, you take Carla out all weekend. I meant that
as a compliment.
It's a compliment.
Jesus Christ.
I swear to God, I did mean it as a compliment. Like, you know, you got a young, hot, beautiful chick with you.
True.
If you go to Atlantic City and you win big right away, all you do all weekend then is you're Ken and she's Barbie.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, darling, what would you like to eat or drink now?
Shows, shopping.
Let's go to the sauna. Yeah. Let's take a steam.
Dining.
Let's go upstairs.
Look at Ken. He's got gray hair and a little bit of a paunch.
Let's have sex. Then watch a pay-per-view and eat chicken fingers in bed.
That's right. Well, I'm on a diet.
Okay. All right.
And I am sticking to my diet even when I'm there. That's one of the reasons we're going there, because there's something to do. If we were going, like, out somewhere to anywhere else, the food would be too important.
Ah, true.
Your wallet might lose weight.
I was just saying to Don, I would like to, I will be very honest with the results, good or bad. I won't give specifics, but I will, you know, I will let you know whether it's good, very good, euphoric good, mm-hmm. or whether it's bad, very bad, or OS. And you know what the OS is?
Yeah.
And this will happen. OS will be leaving early.
Oh, because
I have done before.
You're planning on staying two nights, right?
Two nights. If it is really bad, there is every possibility that we would leave like at noon tomorrow.
You need to also
because I have no choice, because I really don't have a choice.
You'll have to chart it in hunks, because I mean you can't just do the overall thing like, you know, tomorrow morning, then tomorrow afternoon, then tomorrow.
No, he's not going to do that. Just you know him.
I'm not going to do the stupid thing that I did before. I'm not going to do the slot machines anymore.
Good.
Because that really is
the land of the tar idiot. Come on, that
no matter what they are, it's the land of the idiot.
Land of the tar.
Even the roped off slot machine.
You know, as I'm talking, I hate it when I'm talking on the show and I'm saying stuff that I'm not even believing myself.
Mm. Oh, what, you are going to play your Wheel of Fortune slot?
I just love them.
Sure.
I do love them. They're so noisy and fun.
Yeah.
With the bright colors, I get sucked in. And there's no, the odds are so horrible. The odds are so, so horrible. But when you hear Wheel of Fortune... I'm an idiot. That is, to me, the most fun thing that happens in the casino.
You're listening to the mating call of the Omera.
I don't like cards as much as the bells and whistles. Because I also don't like... You know what? You talk about social, antisocial. That is where I've become antisocial. I don't dig other people around me when I'm trying to gamble.
But that's the happiest noise there is.
Yeah.
That pulls me in like... Must be like heroin to an addict.
I know that. See, I'm saying that. That's what worries me now, because I'm saying to you, I'm not going to do the stupid thing, the land of the idiot, and I'm realizing probably the first place I'm going to go.
And you know what? You'll hit a giant jackpot.
And
instead
then I'll lose it all.
Instead of just being Ken and Barbie, you know, you'll be Mike and Carla. Hello.
Wah, 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 wah.
Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hello, Radio God.
Hi there.
It is wonderful to hear your voices again. I used to live up in Maryland 15 years ago. And I discovered the podcast.
Oh, all right. Very good.
Yes.
It is a wonderful thing. And I tell you what, I just wish there's a way you could get the whole show on there. I'd actually subscribe to it.
Do you have a computer?
Yes, I do.
You know we're streaming, right?
Yeah, but I work during the day. I'm just off.
Okay, and whose fault is that?
Why?
Bye!
Yes, God, there it goes. Making a living, getting in the way of listening to this show.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello? Do we still have the I was touched by Buzz line open?
Many of them agreed not to talk about it.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, talking about the Wheel of Fortune machine.
Here's one of your people now, Mike.
What?
Here's what he said, talking about the Wheel of Fortune machine.
Wheel of Fortune machine, yes, sir.
I don't know what happens to me, but they just suck me in. That sound just brings more joy to my life than...
Wait a minute, wait. No, not a losing streak. I am not on a 5-in-a-row losing streak.
Why is that?
I'm in a 1-in-a-row losing streak.
Okay, bye.
And that,
friend.
That is your poker game.
Why?
I won on the casino ship that left Fort Myers, Florida.
See, what? You do gambling that you don't even tell us about.
You forget. You've done it.
I do. That means I may have a problem. It's better than the Seminole Casino that was the inland Florida. We went there.
You that tried
was,
that one, too?
That was more like the raceway, Charlestown.
So when you were on the boat down in Florida, when was this, Christmas time?
Christmas time. Yeah, we won.
Big?
I forgot. No, not big. No, not big. Like $200,
that's
which is plenty.
Yeah.
I mean, came out ahead and left.
Okay.
And left. Well, left because the boat was coming into the dock. Once they come in, they have to go so many miles offshore so you can gamble. And then when they turned around, you couldn't gamble anymore. So I was almost like forced to discipline myself.
Understood. Well, then maybe all your gambling should be on a boat like that, where you're going to have a time limit.
Yeah.
You know, where you go out for a couple hours and you come back.
Pretty sure we won.
Pretty sure.
What do you mean you're pretty sure?
I mean, I think we were up.
What were you playing?
Wheel of Fortune.
Wheel of Fortune.
On the boat?
Retard edition of Wheel of Fortune.
Yeah. They had it on the boat. It was great.
Hell yeah. Well, it must have been like heaven, right?
It was. It was great. And they had a nice buffet.
Did it have the smell of old lady all over it?
No.
Because generally when you're walking through a casino, first off, most of them smell like ass anyway.
Some of the people that worked on the ship didn't, the boat, not the ship, the boat didn't have a lot of teeth.
A lot of these casinos smell anyway, mm-hmm. smell foul,
right.
like feet and ass. But you get over by the slot machine that Mike likes so much,
mm-hmm.
which is so popular.
It's like you're in a laboratory stall.
Mm-hmm. And listen, it is the one great unifier.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, fat, white, black, orange, red, tall, short, young, old, they're all there.
One of the times we were there, we turned in at like 1:30 in the morning. Went upstairs. There was a lady that looked exactly like Doris Roberts from Everybody Loves Raymond,
right.
his mother. She was down there. We came back down, went to breakfast, walked around, went to another casino, came back at about 11:30 in the morning. The same lady was there in the same outfit.
Wow.
That's what I'm saying.
That's how long she had been there. And around her was the smell of perfume covering like a corpse. It was gross.
Wow.
Like the...
But somehow...
Like the guy in the fireplace last night on CSI.
Somehow alluring. Somehow alluring to me. But it's a... And you have camaraderie if you go to the... You know what? I am going to the slots. To hell with it.
Of course you are.
Anybody else watch CSI last night? I know that...
No.
You know, I had the TiVo at the... And I know that you did. You had
right.
the business thing, and then you were with Buzz. And,
right.
The plot last night on CSI, I'm sorry to get off, but it just made me think about, to get off your topic here for a second, the guy that planted the body in the fireplace,
right.
in the chimney, was the father of the girl that was found in the extra part of the house that was built.
Right.
So he went to the morgue and he stole a dead body and he put his kid's ID in there.
Right.
With what, like, with the one in a million shot that they're going to have a fire and smell the decomposing body?
He assumed they would find it, of course. I mean, it's a body up there.
You know, I don't normally get confused by CSI,
right.
but I was confused. And then at the very end, he says to Mark Helgenberger, listen, I know that I did a couple of petty crimes here.
Right.
Well, hold on. The dude went to the morgue, right?
Yeah.
And he stole a body, and he climbed up on top of this guy's house.
Why did he steal the body? To cover another crime?
Because this other dude had killed and raped his daughter, and
they were never able to pin it. He was sure the guy was guilty, but they never proved he was guilty.
Vengeance. Okay.
Vengeance.
So that it was vengeance or revenge.
Yeah. So he just put a corpse in the guy's chimney?
Yeah.
A corpse that would lead them to the clues that would help them find out that his dead daughter was actually also buried in that house.
And I was also confused by George Eads' hair.
Well, always.
I thought last night it was a little, going back to the 60s, a little like maybe a beetle or a monkey haircut.
Yeah, right.
Does that guy change his look for every episode of that show?
I think so.
I mean, it really seems like he's got a mustache in one, he's got a shemp haircut in another one, right?
I read something with, what's her name, with Boobs McGillicuddy. Red. Old Red. Mark Helgenberger.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Right. And that's really her role on the show now, is just to come in a low-cut blouse.
Or a tight sweater.
And just jiggle. I got no problem with it.
No. I bet, seriously, I bet if you saw her in person, She would be amazing looking. As good as she looks on TV,
really?
I bet in person she would look even better.
Mm-hmm. See, here's the thing. I think she might have, like, the Kira Sedgwick factor. Am I getting that name right?
Yeah. You're talking about the big yeah. mouth?
Mrs. Bacon?
No, not necessarily the mouth. I don't think she's got...
Kira Sedgwick has a bigger mouth than Julia Roberts.
She does not. Wow. She absolutely does
oh
not.
Oh, my God. Kira Sedgwick is one of the big mouth people.
No. Julia Roberts is Billy the Talking Bass.
You really think that Kira Sedgwick has a smaller mouth?
Yes.
I think it's a pretty good race.
I think it's smaller. Maybe they're close. They're in the ballpark. They're smaller. Anyway, here's the point.
Like widens out.
I've seen her on TV where she's all fixed up on whatever her show is. I've seen it in high def.
And she married a Kevin Bacon?
Right. Mm-hmm. Should have looked bad. And then I saw her interviewed on some show.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, and I'm such a regular person. I'm here without a lot of makeup on. Mm-hmm. And it was like, oh my God. Never. I worry about that with Boobs McGillicuddy, too.
I think Helgenberger would have been much better looking 5 years ago. I think she's heading towards the wall.
But I did read...
Aren't we all?
I did read...
Not me.
I did read Helgenberger say...
Sometimes he says something, I just looked at him, and he had to say something else after that. He truly did. Not Rob. Rob is not hitting the wall.
What did I read about her, though? Oh, that she wanted to change her character's hairstyle as many times as possible in the run of the show.
Really?
So, I read something like where it said, if you look, I've got my hair 8,000 different ways in every episode.
Well, that's what George Eads is doing. They all do.
She should grow a mustache.
Yeah, hell, they have people on set to do it, so why not?
Don and Mike, hello. What's going on here?
Yeah.
Okay, let me try it now. Okay, you hit that, there you go. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hey, what's up, Don and Mike?
Hey, what's up?
Hey. How you doing?
Yeah.
What's up, yeah?
Hey. Ow! Hey, look, I was calling about CSI. I thought the dude stole the body from the morgue because he worked there. He had access to it.
True. Uh-huh.
And then I thought he put it in the chimney so the Heldenberg chick would be able to reopen the investigation.
Well,
Yes, but again, what are the odds? I believe I said that he said...
You mean what are the odds of them discovering the body?
Yeah,
I know,
but the dude had
a fire, so the other team was there investigating.
But there was two prongs to it, too, though.
I watched the show, trust me. It was just... Normally, it's make-believe it's CSI.
Right.
Definitely.
But the guy's daughter was never found. So he steals a body and tosses it in this guy's chimney on the thought that they're going to start a fire, then they're going to smell the body, and then CSI is going to be able to come back to the house and find out where, no.
Right. Well,
what if the guy decided not to have a fire?
Wouldn't they smell the body anyway because of the rotting corpse?
Well, that could have been because the body had already been burned once.
There wasn't a lot of decomp.
Don't you remember that they asked the chick that he was with about that, mm-hmm. and she said that he has a rat problem in his house and that there were bad smells all the time, and she didn't worry about it.
But also remember there was two reasons for his for throwing the body down. He wanted the father to think that it was his son as revenge.
I mean, it was
pretty twisted last night.
Well, I thought I knew what was going on, but after talking to you guys, I'm more confused.
Thank you. We've done our job.
I didn't see the show, but I'm figuring the guy had to be pretty strong.
Bye!
He threw the body in a chimney. That's not easy to do. I mean, unless you're Santa Claus.
He had to climb up a ladder with a body like in a hefty bag.
Jesus.
Charred bodies are very light, though.
Yeah, you should know, Rob.
A lot of the fluid goes away.
That's right.
It's like a Slim Jim versus a sausage.
Okay, you're in dangerous territory, Mr. Cipolli. Hello. Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike, my brothers.
Hey, hi.
Hey, Buzz.
Yes.
God damn, do I hate you, Buzz.
Really, why?
Oh, no. Now, you see what? He's just goofing you, Buzz.
Yeah, you know he's not sincere.
I think he really does.
I don't like you, Buzz.
No.
Well, that's fine. Even that sounded friendly.
Everybody likes you, Buzz. Damn you! And where are all the women who I was told would call in today and could come out from behind that two way mirror?
Confidentiality agreements were signed.
He brought a stack of them.
Don and Mike show. Hello.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hi there,
Don. I wonder if you remember China Beach, the show about Vietnam. Remember when Mark Helgenberger was on that?
Yeah, well, no, I remember Dana Delaney on
Dana Delaney. Dana Delaney was a POA. Right on, man.
Dana Delaney was a POA.
Yeah,
I don't remember Marg Helgenberger on that show, but I'll believe you. Did she look any good?
She played a round eye hoa, you know, that was charging all the officers for, you know.
Oh, she was
really?
She
was a hooker.
Oh, yeah.
All
yeah.
right.
Okay, good.
Have a good afternoon.
Good info. Thank you, my friend.
I like that.
Bye!
Yeah, here she is.
Bye-bye. Oh, Buzz, would you do a search on the internet?
Yeah, I found a picture of her from China Beach. That's what she looked like then.
Oh, it's just Marg Helgenberger with big 80s hair.
Yeah, big hair.
Yeah, big hair.
Okay.
Vietnam hair.
So speaking of CSI, Buzz, so did you, by any chance last night, drop a body in your chimney?
No.
Or in anybody's chimney?
No, there was no need for that.
No body dropping last night?
No.
You know, really, I think everyone should be aware that the nice guy, the quiet guy, you know, there's every chance if you dug up his backyard, you could find something.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
What's up?
Hey, hi there.
I'm from Las Vegas, and I just wanted to say, I don't think anybody ever uses their chimney out here.
Aha!
There you go. Thank you.
Good point.
Bye.
Probably the most brilliant point made today on the show.
Thank you, my friend.
Local angle.
And what else did we not talk about? Yes, I know. Oh, I know what it was. Buzz, when you were doing the news yesterday, I bet you didn't even know that right around the time, everybody knows this already, but right around the time that you were doing the news and we were saying that the NFL free agent thing was going to be last night at midnight at the end of the world, they added on a 72-hour window.
An extension. So they've got the weekend to work this thing out?
Now they got the weekend to try to, as the Beatles would say, come together.
I haven't been reading about this, but what is the why is there urgency if you've got two more seasons anyway? I don't understand why the urgency now.
Because free agency was supposed to start a day ago.
Okay.
And it's got something to do with what the cap number is this year.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't have a deal in place, next year they don't have a cap.
Mm-hmm.
And then the year after that, there might be a strike.
And a lot of guys are renegotiating their contracts now.
Yeah.
Especially like with the Redskins. I know a lot of those guys are doing that.
Yeah. A lot of the guys that, I guess a lot of guys that make a lot of money, but they still make a lot of money either way.
Well, they're restructuring. I don't think they're giving up money as much as they're moving it around.
I don't know. It's one of those, I'm not really upset about it, but like I said yesterday, when Buzz came out with the news that they had broken off the negotiations. And
Tagliabue was saying this is as bad as it can get.
Yeah,
that's where we left it.
I think I mentioned yesterday at the time, well, you know, when push comes to shove in any negotiation, you get down to, you know, when your balls are really right, just be in the vice. Yeah, they'll work it out.
I think they will. It's like because if the players are restructuring their contracts, that's helping the team.
Right.
Just like what we offer CBS every year to restructure our contract to help the team. How else do you think they were able to bring in the stable of talent they brought in? You know, sometimes you got to think of the big picture.
That's right. You got to spend money to make money.
There you go, as always. Mike O'Meara, thinking of others first. That's what I love about you, baby.
What I do.
He does.
That's what I love about you, baby.
What I do.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey.
Mike.
Hey.
Hello.
Mike.
Yes, my friend.
Hey, buddy. I got your traffic light for you. When do you want it?
Anytime you want to drop it off.
Well, the guy that answered the phone yesterday hung up on me a bunch of times and said that you didn't want it, so I didn't know.
No, I do want it. Yeah.
You do want it.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
That'd be good for your place.
Drop it off anytime.
Monday, I'll bring it up during the show. Is that okay?
Yes, thank you.
Thanks.
Look forward to it.
Even better, why not just hide in the parking lot?
I'll be depressed Monday, so look forward to getting a gift.
Maybe you'll be a winner, Mike. Come on.
Yeah, maybe. Who's the big winner in the casino?
Mikey wins.
You are.
Yeah. Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey.
I think that's the first time that somebody's committed a crime and didn't get arrested.
Oh, on CSI?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and again, that's why I was confused by this episode, because he's sitting in the room with Helgenberger, mm-hmm. and he's saying, well, at the very worst, all I did was a petty crime.
Right.
You know, I mean, he's a lot worse than a petty crime.
I think he was in the process of being arrested. They cut it off before he got arrested.
It sure did look like she was about to take him out to lunch. They're going to go to IHOP.
IHOP
exactly.
And arrest.
All right, thank you, my friend.
See you, Mike.
IHOP and then to jail.
Bye-bye. Oh, and Mike, this is for you.
Okay. Just go, please. We go? Baby, look at me. Look at me. Your money, you know what else? You're a big winner tonight.
You're a big winner.
You're a big winner. I'm going to ask you a simple question. I want you to listen to me. Who's the big winner here tonight at the casino?
Michael Miller.
Huh? Mikey, that's two. Mikey, that's winner. Mikey wins.
I'm toast. I am so jinxed by that.
Mike O'Mara, big winner.
I am so jinxed by that piece of tape.
Watch the 11 o'clock news.
Screw you, Vince Vaughn.
It's going to be regionally popular disc jockey sets world record. And it'll be Mike up there on TV just saying he wants to buy a chocolate pie a mile wide.
Do you know how often I have fantasized about being one of those pictures on the wall next to the escalator?
The whole Judy Garland thing kind of turned me on. Does that make me some kind of fag?
Oh, maybe your money.
I don't think she liked me anyway.
Oh, Mike, I'm telling you, man. She thought you were money.
Yeah, Mike.
I'm doing something. I heard him both talk. Both those girls thought you were money.
Don't think she liked me.
Baby, you are so money, and you don't even know it.
I'd settle this weekend for the PT Cruiser.
Oh, a car?
The one that circles up above the little kiosk.
Rotates on the turntable.
It's so exciting.
It's yours, donkey. Here's your money.
Money.
Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I ain't seen a beating like that since somebody stuck a banana in my pants and turned a monkey loose.
Thanks for the pick-me-up, Eddie.
The Don and Mike Show. Enthusiastic and reverent, Don and Mike.
That's right. Well, it's the best of Don and Mike. So, and I'm your host, Legendary Joe Artinger. Now, we're back on track. I'm glad to announce that we are back on track. And, of course, in the last segment, you heard that Mike was going to Atlantic City. Well, now it's time to follow up on that and see how he did on the best of Don and Mike.
Highlight of the weekend, though, really, was Saturday morning.
Oh.
The call from Mike.
I had no idea that you'd been up that long with all the dog stuff that you were dealing with.
Yep. About 8 o'clock, phone rings. It's Mike. Tells me the good news. Not only is he down in Atlantic City.
Mm-hmm.
Not only has he lost virtually all of his money, but he's been awakened to, do I call it domestic?
A tremendous domestic disturbance.
Wow.
A screaming domestic disturbance,
man.
Which followed the Friday night's domestic disturbance.
Mm.
In a room somewhere near ours, because I don't know what direction. It felt like it was coming from every direction.
Wow.
And I win the Pussy Award. Carla said, you should call security. I said, I don't want to because I'm scared.
That's how bad.
I weigh now 269 pounds.
Did you put a chair against the door?
And I'm a big guy. I can handle myself. The way this sounded, both with the females and the males involved, I was afraid to go out of my hotel room and deal with it.
Yeah.
I didn't want to deal with it. First of all, I didn't want to get up and get out of bed. But I figured in the joint that I was in, I thought, I wouldn't have something like this go down.
You would think.
Let's just get these bullet points out real fast, like when we were talking in the office. Okay, because you were telling me there's so many things about your weekend that went wrong.
All right, Friday night, these are the headings, okay?
These are just headings.
These are just the headings. You will hear about Friday night at 2 a.m. I will label this domestic disturbance number one.
Mm-hmm.
Saturday morning wake-up call, serious domestic disturbance number two.
You
would think you'd get the real bad one at 2 a.m. No, the real bad one was 8 o'clock in the morning. All right. Saturday at 6 o'clock Eastern time, my falling in love with the band in my drunken haze.
Oh, dear.
10 p.m., dinner. After dinner, a few more drinks with dinner.
Yeah.
Walking out, major celebrity sighting with contact and dialogue.
Wow.
And bedtime Saturday night.
Yeah.
Passing out while watching a pay-per-view movie.
What a day.
And due to my incredible winning streak, a 9 a.m. departure on Sunday. I normally stay through the day on Sunday when I go to AC. I normally stay until about 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock. I had to leave. You know why I had to leave?
Why?
Nothing left to gamble. Atlantic City.
F you. Luck be a lady. Now, I'll tell you that in the office before the show, Mike was telling me, and I said, keep it in your pants. Tell me on the radio. He said that after he ran out of money, it strictly became alcohol fueled.
After we ran out of money, we decided to go to the lounge.
Uh-huh.
And that was probably at about 5 o'clock.
on Saturday afternoon.
And as I walked, well, I'll tell you the whole thing.
Okay.
But as I walked in, I see that they were setting up because it's Atlantic City. You know, you don't have to wait till 10 o'clock at night for a band to come on.
Right.
They're setting up for the band to go on at 6 o'clock. And at that point, I said, well, we got an hour to get all ready for the music. And I did. And by the time the band got going.
And you're like Jeff Spicoli hiring Van Halen to play his birthday party. Did you?
Let me say, by the time I stayed for three sets.
Uh-huh.
Wow. They played from 6 o'clock till 9:30.
What was the genre?
I stayed for the whole thing.
Wow.
Classic rock.
Classic rock.
And they looked like the Stones. They were old guys, and I love the old rockers. They were cats. There were guys that play. I love cats. The old guys that have been playing for a long time, and I fell in love. I really, and it went from having that new Heineken Light to Irish whiskey during the course of my afternoon. And by the end of the time I was in there,
yeah,
I said, I think you guys are great. You're going to play at my birthday party.
Oh, that's nice.
You made friends. I lost the business card, but it was, I was just overly...
That's the real mic coming out.
Overly
right
enthusiastic. Not that I wouldn't love to go see him again. They were that good. I do remember that. I have a vague memory of that.
Okay, so there was a lot that happened to you.
It was one of the more eventful trips to Atlantic City, but the streak continues. Mm. And the streak continues. There wasn't... I wasn't in that casino 10 minutes. I started. I never got a toehold. I never got a run. I never got back on track. I approached it like I was winning enough to where I was getting less down, but never beyond that. Never got to where I was up and I walk away. You're ahead. No. The whole weekend was spent playing catch up ball. The whole effing weekend, catch up. Had a great time. I had the best time. I had the best time I've ever had losing as much as I lost.
Well, there you go.
Good.
That's the truth.
Seriously, it was wonderful. And really having the presence of mind to get up and get out of there on Sunday was
smart.
Brilliant.
Mm-hmm. Brilliant. Okay.
It was fantastic. And then I would describe the celebrity sighting as not, you'll have to make that determination. This is a B-League celebrity, but from a show that everybody in this room, you all know her.
Mm.
And you've all seen her, and I talked to her.
Wow. And you approached her, right?
I definitely approached her. I had no choice. I was literally walking out, and she was walking out with me and my girlfriend.
And you were drunk.
I was, yes. Oh, yes.
Right, good. Yeah. I was
not as drunk as I was when I was, because that was earlier. I kind of wound down, but drunk enough to have no hesitation with walking up to her, point blank, hand extended, and engage in conversation.
Hello!
Mm-hmm.
La la la.
Do you want a hint about the celebrity, or do you want me to come back?
Yes, please. I'll take it. La la la.
Well, see, if I give you a hint, you're gonna get it. You're gonna get it. I can give you a hint.
Is she hot?
Yes.
Ooh.
That's it. That's the hot that I. That's it.
She on TV?
Yeah.
Sitcom?
No.
So it wasn't Lisa Remedy.
No.
It was not.
No. Okay. Hot. That's good. That's all. That doesn't give it away, and that's good enough.
All right. All right. Speaking of Lisa
Remedy. I'll give a further hint. My kind of hot.
Okay.
Look at you. Look at that look. What the hell is that supposed to mean?
You know what
is the nostrils flared, look like I'm going to get sick?
Means.
No, I. You know
no,
what?
You
everybody
know that
will
is...
be with me on this one.
No, that means she's, earthy. Was she all Selma Hayek-y? Y'all unibrowy?
No.
Y'all earthy?
You're killing me with that.
Your type.
Well, are you going to try to guess?
Is her first name Cloris?
Yes, Rob's got it. It was Cloris Leachman.
Wow. Hold on. We'll come back and hear about this celebrity. And we love hearing about you losing money in Las Vegas, Atlantic City.
Oh, I didn't fill in the blanks on that. The losing is part of this story,
good,
too. My knuckles still hurt a little bit.
Why do your knuckles hurt?
Hit a table when I finally was out.
See, this is my guy.
I smashed the table with my fingers and just, I was so mad. So mad.
Sure.
Carla lets it roll off now because she's so used to it. She's so used to it and she doesn't take it personally. God bless her, she doesn't care because she knows that's me, because it really isn't in any way directed at her.
Right.
It's directed at me. It's really directed at me,
mm-hmm.
you know. Right. And until the Red Sox won the World Series, I used to go, I lose again. My teams never win. But I don't have to say that anymore.
No, you don't.
But I still, hey, it's true what Robert De Niro says. In the end, they get it all.
They get it all. Okay. All right, Mike, Tell us about, let's start with, you're losing all of your money on the first night.
All right.
But followed by domestic violence in Atlantic City.
You guys all saw me getting out of here. I was going straight from the radio station up to AC
right.
on a Friday night. Very, very excited. Really, really looking forward to it. Had a nice trip up there. Uneventful trip. Made good time.
Good.
Got there. And immediately we... Yes.
Just say, very jealous I am. Mm-hmm. Yoda speak. Mm-hmm. Very nice.
Jealous I am?
You know, we're all walking out of the building on Friday night. Mm-hmm. Mike's chick is there. She's ready to switch cars.
Right.
She's going to do the driving.
Mm-hmm.
All you got to do is just sit back.
Yeah.
Put your feet up.
Yep.
That's nice.
It was nice. I did a little driving, not a lot of driving. I did a little bit, but it was great. We made good time. Got up there, checked into the hotel. Got everything situated, and then bingo. We're there early enough where we're gonna zip down and do some gambling. And it didn't take me 5 seconds to start. Hemorrhaging. Remember that stupid gambling that I told you I wasn't going to do? I did it. I did it.
The Wheel of Fortune?
Yeah, I did the Wheel of Fortune. I did all the slot machines and lost my ass. I really did. Immediately, very quickly, and quickly, not only did I lose quickly, but I thought that I'm going to get back quickly. I'm going to get back as fast as I lost. I just kept losing and losing and losing and losing. But I knew that I wasn't going to go all the way with it because really it's just foolish. It's foolish to do this. And, by this time it's like, 12:30, 1 o'clock, and we decide we're just going to pack it in. I said, look, before the hemorrhaging of money gets so bad, I'm going to pack it in and we'll tomorrow is a new day. We've got the whole day to hang out and we'll see if we can make a run at it tomorrow. But right now, if I keep doing this, the weekend could be over before it starts. And I was not going to leave Saturday morning. I wasn't going to do that. Wasn't going to be that bad. I set a limit. It's a large limit, but I set a limit on my losing.
$400.
That's it. And I get the hell out of there. Uh-huh. And the thing is, I was bummed. We turn in. And I think we watched just a little bit of TV and then went right to sleep and went out pretty quickly because Carla was tired. She'd had a long drive up there.
Right.
I was tired from Thursday night with Buzz and I was wiped out. So we fall asleep.
Oh, and, excuse me. Don't forget. You worked a half a day on Friday.
Yes, that's right. A half a day. Not only the night with Buzz, but the half a day that I worked on Friday.
Right.
So I was, we both were sound asleep when seriously all hell breaks loose out in the hallway. I hear it is I want to call it the F word symphony. It is screaming. It is screaming to the point where I can recognize the sounds of what sound like a terrible fight. I don't hear anything getting knocked over, but I hear this screaming. This screaming to the extent where we were both sound asleep.
Uh-huh.
We sit bolt upright in bed, and that's when the discussion ensued as far as what I was going to do. Seriously, out in the hallway, you hear this.
This is Robert the Mailman.
You hear this. It's like, F you. Well, F you. F you. I told you. Evidence. Evidence. If you're going to do it,
then
it's like, bam, bam, bam.
Can you identify white, black, male, female?
No, could the next morning. Could not. The next morning it was white woman, black man. That's what I identified the next morning.
This sounded like
a bunch of white guys. Stop shopping. Stop shaking your head, Rob.
No, Rob just looked at me.
Rob just looked at me and you. Yeah, with that unusual look that I never see him.
He looked at me and he just mouthed the word, trouble.
Actually, if I could really identify it, Friday night sounded like a couple of white guys having a fight. It sounded like four or five guys, and everybody was screaming, and then it sounded like somebody fell up against my door because it smashed up against my door. I get up, and I go look through the little peephole like, don't hurt me, because I'm so sound asleep, and I'm just going, what the hell is the deal? And I'm hearing, F you, I didn't want it, I told you that, that's what I was going to do. No, you don't understand, F you. So what are you doing, I'm just going, oh, my God. I said, I've been in a lot of hotels, but I'm never hearing this. I never heard this. And I'm, when you're literally jarred out of sleep, and I stumble back to bed, and it stops as quick as it started. And I look out in the peephole, I see nobody in the hallway. The last part of it was this just wall vibrating door slam that just rocked the walls, and silence. And at this point, I just closed my eyes, went back to sleep, to get a good night's sleep, to bed. What an evening.
What a day.
And fell asleep.
The next thing I hear is the wake-up call at 8 o'clock in the morning where we have slept straight through. And this, I wrote this down because this is seriously what was said.
Okay.
We hear this. The first thing I hear, I mean screaming, right out of the chute, this woman at the top of her lungs says, "Don't you effing punch her!"
Oh, my.
And I hear, I hear, seriously, I hear, "I didn't effing punch her." "Yes, you did effing punch her. I'm going to call security." Carla is like, she's grabbing my arm and going, she says, "All right, now you have to call security." I said, "Carla, I don't know what room they're in. I don't want to call security on some innocent person that's trying to sleep while this is going on." "Well, you should look out." I said, "Okay, I'll look out." And I said, and I'm still tired. I said to Carla, I said, "Why don't you go look through the peephole?" Carla goes over and looks through the peephole. And then, once again, it was silent. And I realized it's 8 o'clock. I'm up now. I mean, this is fine. This is, you know, it's the wake-up call. But I said, I was going to wait to call you to give you an update. I said, I got to call Don with this. I got to tell Don that A, I'm losing, and B, I got to tell him that we've got these domestic disturbances going on somewhere within one room of where we are, because it sounds like they're in the room with me. So that's when I called you.
So Mike calls me and says, you know, "Hey, I'm down. I'm down. I'm way down." Mm-hmm. But even more important, and I think what you said to me was like something like, you know, they say they're going to build a nice place in Atlantic City, but you know what they build? They build a house of S, just like every other house of S in Atlantic City.
It's what it is.
Because you've got these...
It's an S-hole. I go up there because, look, it's the closest place that I can go to go and have fun and gamble, and I love to gamble and I love to have fun. But, look, they can dress it up all they want. It is still what it is. It is still... And you know what? And they build a new one, and then slowly but surely, it gets New Jersey-ized. Mm-hmm. And it just turns into a pile of garbage. It really does. And I think this last night, you know, a very nice joint. And, you know, you're having this, you know, this major domestic that you would have, that you'd see out of Cops happening right around. I've been in a million hotels. I never had anything like this happen. This was top of your lungs screaming and then, "Don't effing punch her."
Wow.
And some guy hauled off and punched some woman. And I don't know what room it is. I don't want to call security because you know why, Don? I just didn't want to get involved.
Understood.
You know, just like those bad people, like in New York, that, you know, let people get killed in their apartments.
Is that the first time that your lady has seen the true you come out?
The true coward?
Yeah.
In a crisis situation?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, I certainly wasn't filled with bravado at that point. Because she was kind of saying, you know, "We got to do something." You know, and I was just like, "No, I'll let them kill each other. I don't care. There's gambling to do. I'm going to get in the shower." So what I do is... Carla's gonna get ready and take her time. We get some breakfast, and then I hop in and take a quick shower, and I go down. I said, "I'll meet you down there." And this is what we do. It's kind of a superstitious thing, because sometimes if I go down first thing in the morning, start my little day, I'll have a little win streak, a little run, right? I got a tiny little bump, and then bingo, it was all downhill from that point. And Carla meets me, but it's happy early day Saturday. It's 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock in the morning. It's happy day. We're playing some cards. We're playing different games. We're gonna, you know, we're not as down as we were. We're back a little bit, and we're going to continue to just have a happy day. All right. So we have the happy day, and like everything, we're gambling. So as the day progresses, okay, it starts out we're playing Caribbean stud poker. Caribbean stud poker is where you kind of bet against the dealer.
I never understand. Is that the one that has the slot built into the board?
It's got the little thing where you put the dollar in to get the progressive if you have a royal flush or something. Something like that. And this lady, it's good. We're being social. They're fun people. It's a great social game. You don't have a real good chance of winning a lot of money, but you can stay in the game for a long time, or so I thought.
Mm.
See, this was the one game where I thought you can kind of sit at the table and socialize. And at this point, I'm not having any cocktails at all. I'm having Diet Cokes, and we're just...
Saturday morning.
It's Saturday midday, okay. Midday around this time when Carla joined me. And we're having a good time. And then, what was her name? I think her name might have been... Christine. I think it was this old...
I could guarantee it started with a C.
It sure did. Christine was, mid to late 50s,
and
baby
dirty hair
baby
and was just and went on a run where she was just getting cards. She was getting was getting winning hand after winning hand winning hand, and I'm sitting there going, oh man, you are brutal. And this is when it starts. This is when the very first sign of my anger kicks in, where I'm just like, okay. And I'm convinced that when I walk into these places, they've got a camera on me, and then they go, that's the guy that really doesn't like to lose at all. Keep the camera on him, because I'm just going, oh, there you go.
Oh, my goodness!
And so she finally wins enough.
Excellent.
I get up, and I said, let's go this. So during the course of Saturday, we go to blackjack, we go back to the slots, and it's slowly but surely, whenever we would make the big bet, that's when we would lose. And it gets to the point where we're done, and I've reached my my limit, and I decide that that's it. I'm not going to tap into it anymore. I could, but this time it's just not going my way. Why don't we go? This is the whole day, though. We played games the whole day, and we only got tapped probably at about 4:30, 5 o'clock.
All right, so you run out of money.
Go. We in the middle of this, we'd had a little lunch. That went well, but went back and continued to lose. Then I quit, and I'm like, that's it. And it was one of these deals. You can relate to this. It was one of these deals at a blackjack table where we were both playing, and we decided, you know, hey, let's just let it all ride, and this is our last little showdown here. Let's see what happens. We both get, Carla gets two eights, and I get a 10 and an 8. So she's got two eights that she's going to split. I get an 18.
You just sit on that, right?
And I sit on that, and the dealer's got a 5. The odds are extremely
with
me.
The odds are in your favor.
The odds are in my favor. And so Carla splits. Carla gets two 10s. We have 18, 18, 18.
Wow. You're sitting on three 18s.
Right. Dealer flips the card over. Dealer has 15. Dealer has 17. No, dealer has 15. Dealer gets an ace with a 16. Dealer gets 21. And at that point, I went, that's it. And I mean, I really stood up at the table as I said, that's it. Now, in the middle of all this on the day Saturday, I'd lost money in the slots. That's when I banged my hand down on a little piece of wood, and I kind of hurt my nose. I just walked away because I'd lost and lost and lost. I'm like, jeez, I just can't buy it. It was just everywhere I went.
Now, tell us about
that
now.
I'll tell you what happened.
Okay, please.
We're in the slot area, and we're at these slot machines, and everybody, the alarms start going off. I walk into an area, and the people in my, you know, within 2 feet of me, it's all, you know, here he comes. Get close to him because it's lucky time, because I'm going to lose, but they're all going to win. And all these alarms are going off, like three at one point, all around me are going off. And I'm sitting there going, okay, well, I lose again. I lose again. And then I'm walking out, and I just take my hand on the little shelf that they have where people put their little plastic containers for the coins and stuff.
Yeah.
And I just bring my hand down. You know, I was like, I don't know, says I'm like, easy. I'm like, I don't have it easy. I'm sober. And at this point, Carla's like directing me towards, well, why don't we go over to the lounge? We'll just hang out. I said, yeah, we'll just, you know, we'll go. Maybe they'll have a band in there and it'll be fine.
How are your knuckles?
I didn't hurt him as bad. There's not even a mark. I mean, I thought that I really broke my finger when I did it the first time. That's how hard I smashed it down there. I was very disappointed.
Sure.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Derek?
What do you want?
Actually, I'm trying to talk to Mugatu, but he's tougher to get to than the president.
Oh, thought you were going to tell me what a bad Yagoogalizer I am.
A what?
A Yagoogalizer? One who speaks at funerals? Or did you think I'd be too stupid to know what a Yagoogly was?
The Don and Mike Show.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program, the best of Don and Mike.
And that entertainment program is here, rolling right along. Oh, by the way, when you're looking for all things Don and Mike, don't forget to go to donandmikewebsite.com. Getting into the swing of things here with some good old-fashioned honey drippers. Your host, Legendary Joe Arndt, with you. So, let's recap, shall we? Mike went to Atlantic City, didn't do so well. And then things got a little bit worse. Mike in Atlantic City on the best of Don and Mike.
All right, Mike, back to Atlantic City. And you were just telling us, right as we went on the air, that you also got an altercation of your own with a woman?
Later. This comes later.
Wow. Okay.
I sit down. We get all excited because the band's going to show up, and I'm very, very jacked. And they show up finally. Meanwhile, you know, the drinks are flowing. Everything's wonderful. The band is as good or actually better than I thought they'd be. They're really, really great classic rock. Playing
you know, just obscure stuff, stuff you normally wouldn't hear a cover band that plays classic rock play. I mean, they usually play, you know, you can almost, like, know it by heart, the crap that that a cover band that's playing classic rock is going to play. Exactly. They're just, they're playing weird, different stuff. Like, they're playing different Billy Joel. They're playing different Who. They're playing stuff that you, and they're playing it well, and I'm just getting more and more into it as every, I mean, really.
I'm on my second beer.
By the third set, these guys, people were coming into this joint, and they had people on their feet. They were that good, and by the end, I'm just like talking to the guy during a break, and I'm going, "You guys are just so great. I want to have you play at my birthday party. You got to come and play." And I'm just all over, you know, just saying, "Come on, let's go. It'll be so much fun, fantastic." But you know, the bottom line is, I love this band. I'm absolutely blottoed because I stay in that lounge.
Do you
lounge.
Know the name of the band today?
No,
no, you don't.
Oh, that's too bad.
I am really sorry I don't. It's the Michael something band.
Uh-huh.
Thank you. That's all I can give you right now.
Very good.
I mean, I have a business card somewhere. I can't find it. Maybe if I find it, I'll why? Why?
You know, because they're going to play.
You know, it's
party.
Just like when you meet somebody on a vacation. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
You have that great time. And you say, "Hey, this is great. We're going to be friends." You know, I'm sure you've experienced that on a cruise where you just, "Hey, this is great." You end up, you move on.
Yeah,
you know.
Right.
So this is 9:30. The only time I could get a dinner reservation was for 10 o'clock. So it works out perfectly. Only I'm really not in the mood for eating at this stage of the game. I could have done completely without. But we go to the steakhouse anyway, and you know, after I have a little appetite. Meanwhile, Carla is going into full nutritionist mode with me because you go into this steakhouse where everything in a casino steakhouse is abbondanza. It's big. It's, you know, get the 750-ounce steak and you get this. So I have to order something that I'm not accustomed to ordering, which
What's
is
that?
The petite filet mignon steak, which is the smallest one, and then I have to cut like a third off of it. And, and that's all I can eat. And I'm really, so I would like to apologize to Carla that for the majority of the dinner, I am sitting there just bitching all through dinner about what I can't eat, what I can't eat, what I can't eat, and it's going on and on and on. And I think I might have had one more cocktail, but that was you know, probably one more than I needed. You know, this couple sits down next to us, and we start chatting with them, and everything is very like relaxed and fun. And
good.
You know, I'm coming down off the what I know is probably the best part of the weekend, which was watching that band. And you know, we eat, it's fine. We're walking out. As we're walking out.
Here we go, celebrity now.
You know, I look over and I go, "Oh, man, Carla, I know her. You know her? I know her. Oh, I do know her." And it goes, "Oh, man, 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 wait. Sopranos, Sopranos, Sopranos. That's Adriana. That's Adriana. Oh. That's Drea De Mateo." And I remembered, even in my drunken stupor, I remembered Drea De Mateo.
That's pretty good.
And
you are good not to oversell it.
No.
If you said either Sopranos or Dumb Joey.
Yeah, right.
We would have gotten it.
Yeah, I mean, it would have been a giveaway. But she is very, very recognizable, and she's with a group of people. And I walk by, but when I see her, I don't make contact because she's talking with a bunch of people. And I'm like, you know, because of the way the circumstances are, I'm not going to say anything. But as we turn the corner, it turns out she's leaving at the exact same time we're leaving. Uh-huh. And I know, and I say to Carla, I said, is she in back of us? Carla says, yeah, she's in back of us. So I pull this move where I walk out of the restaurant. And you know the restaurant I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know.
And right at the front, I turn around and I just go, "Hey, I just want to say," and I'm not really slurring, but I say, well, maybe I am.
I just want to say,
man, I'm a really big fan. I really like your work. You're really, really talented.
Drunky.
She goes, thank you very much. And then I might have thrown in there that I do a radio show or something like that.
Uh-huh.
But at the same time, the one thing that we had a little back and forth, I said, "Man," I just looked at her, and I don't know where this came from, but I looked at her and I said, "Man, Atlantic City really sucks."
Oh.
And she agreed with me.
Ah, good.
So it was a moment. I, you know, I said, yeah. She goes, "Yeah, I'm just up here to see my friend." We determined after the fact that the friend that she was going to see perform was a guy. I've never seen the guy because I never watched the show from Last Comic Standing, the big fat guy, Ralphie, who was up there performing. And
a lot of
people were talking about going to see this guy. And so, you know, we walked off after that and was like,
it's Ralphie, though.
So that was my... that was my wonderful celebrity sighting that I had, and I was pretty pretty excited, and I was so excited because dinner had been good, the band had been good, and at this point, feeling really good about everything. I said, "Well, this is that's a lucky break, so, you know,
oh, seeing a celebrity. Gonna go back.
Might
to
as
table.
Well tap the well again.
Don't
you
do
know?
It. Mike.
Might as well go back over to the big money chest, open up the drawer, and see if we can perhaps get back to where we should be.
I'm about it,
and
yeah.
that would be really officially where the whole evening started going really downhill because. I was not. I don't think I was drinking after that, but I was still going on what I had before.
Sure.
And we go back and just the same old, all over again. Everything, cards, slot machines, everything. I didn't win.
Asian dealers.
It was no. I pretty much avoided that. I avoided that Christine or whatever the lady's name is, and I got her name wrong. I know she had a different name. She was a different. We didn't have a lot of Asian dealers. It was a lot of old. Kind of Mario kind of dealers. That's weird.
Any dealers named Wing?
They were all around me. They were all around me. But it was hard because it was very popular up there on Saturday night, and you know, the place is always packed. It's almost impossible to get a table, and that's what drives me back to the stupid land, the land of the idiot, when I go back into the slot machines, and I go back in there and lost and lost and lost. And at one point, I just felt this one machine, and there's this lady that's sitting down there. She looks similar to, how can I describe her best? She's Italian looking. She's a little overweight. She's got a lot of jewelry on, and she's young. And she's sitting there, and she's doing what old ladies do with slot machines.
Hold on now. You just said she's young.
She's doing what old ladies do.
But she's young.
But she's young.
Is she like...
she's pure Jersey.
New Jersey?
She's
okay.
Pure Jersey.
That's all I wanted
and
to get
Carla
to.
Informed me, after I had my little moment with this lady, that she either had like an uncle or a boyfriend or a father or something that I had picked the wrong person.
Okay. Hi, Don
and
Mike.
You wonder why this person is this young and at these machines. And I walk up, and I think the conversation was something
along... mobbed up?
She's sitting there at one machine, and then she's got her card in the other. And I see that she's got the card, but she's not playing it. And I walk over, and I'm not being a dick, but what I'm doing is I'm being kind of friendly-like. And I guess it came across to her that I was being a dick, because I said... Are you still playing this machine? Because I got a feeling about it. I got a feeling I'm going to hit big on it. And she says something along the lines of, well, I've got my card in there. I said, I know you've got your card in there, but you're not playing it, and I'm really feeling it. She goes, I got my card in there, and I will be playing it. I've put loads of money into that machine, and you're not going to be playing. I'm like, okay, fine, be that way. So I walk away at this point, but you know me, right? At this point, it's starting to spin in my head, and I'm going on. So I go over to Carla. I'm like, Carla, she was such a bitch. I couldn't believe it. And I'm just standing there, and I'm playing one machine while I'm just keep looking back at her. And at this point, Carla says, just stop it. Just stop it. You don't want to. You don't want to make a big deal. I said, what do you mean you don't want to make a big deal? What's the deal? She's monopolizing the machines. I haven't won anything. I do feel like I'm going to hit on that machine. This is ridiculous. And I'm not totally out of control. But that's when Carla said, you should have seen the guys that she was telling about me. And apparently, a couple of these gray-haired guys with necklaces came over, and she was pointing at them. And then they didn't matter. And I said, I walked back over. I said, still playing that machine? She goes, yes, sir, I'm still playing that machine. I said, oh, man. Jersey girl, right?
Oh, no.
And I walk away because I'm just pissed because she's being such a jerk about everything.
Yeah.
And I was not doing it to say, I want to play the machine. I was being kind of lighthearted.
Yeah.
So I got a feeling about this machine. And she was just pulling the 100% bitch trip with me. And I was not happy about it. So, Carla... Who is this, your father? Oh, I'm real sorry. Because I'm the one that kind of looks like the father-daughter guy. You know, But Carla wasn't anywhere near this. She was over at some other machine, and she was standing idly by. And she talked me out of saying what I wanted to say, because at this point, it's time for bed.
What did you want to say?
I wanted to take Carla and walk by her, and I just wanted to have my arm around Carla and go, you know something? I might not have been a winner in the casino, but I'm a winner in life. You know why? Because I ain't going home with you. I'm going home with her. And I rehearsed this little speech, and that's the point where Carla said, you are not going to say that.
That's
you are not going to. Let's go back to the room. And I, but this was after losing and losing and losing, losing to the point where there officially will not be any more gambling because that's it. There's no chance of any more gambling because it has been tapped out. If I was going to gamble, I would have had like to go down to get somebody to wire me money. That's what would have happened.
When you say no more gambling,
or said, here are the keys to my car. Anybody want to buy it?
On that trip.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're not done for good with gambling. You're not done for good.
Carla kind of wants to bag it. Carla says, you might find this to be a shocker. She said it's not as much fun as it used to be, and she might be right about this. Mm-hmm. But I know that give me 6 months, give me 8 months, I'll go back. Because you always do it. I mean, it's fun. Fun.
I will take action on that right now.
Okay.
Sure.
Right now.
As to whether I don't go back?
6 months?
Yeah.
Without gambling?
Yeah. Absolutely.
No. I'll take that bet. And furthermore, I'll take a bet that you forget that you made a bet about not gambling in 3 to 6 months.
I'll take Memorial Day. I'll say you gamble by Memorial Day.
Mm-hmm. Well, now you've made it a challenge. Now you guys are looking out for me. I appreciate that. And then it'll be a quest.
But now we have to do just stop talking about it.
That's right. You'll jinx it.
So that you forget like you always do.
Well, after I had the fight with the lady, the evening ended for me where I went back up to my hotel room and I passed out watching Brokeback Mountain.
Sure.
Hey!
Because it was on, when you get pay-per-views in theaters.
It was on the all-gay channel.
I watched, and it was great leading up to the Oscars because on the pay-per-view they had Good Night and Good Luck, which was nominated. They had Walk the Line, which I watched, which was nominated. Right. And Brokeback Mountain at 12:30 or 11, maybe 11:30.
Yeah.
The eyes closed because, you know, that movie begins with a lot of this. And I said, well, I'll see what all the. Let's see what all the fuss is about. And Carla fell right asleep, and then I passed out right after that. I was done. What a day! Mm-hmm. What an exciting, exhilarating.
That was too gay.
Celebrity filled day. Very, very exciting.
Hold on a second. One call for you here, Mike. Hello, okay. Don and Mike show.
Hey, Mike.
Yes, sir.
Don, it was the Michael Strayer band, probably the best cover band going. They play over here at Kirkpatrick's in Ashburn a lot.
Okay, thank you, Red. Red Neckerson checking in. Bye-bye.
I don't think they play in D.C.
Bye-bye.
They were a Philly band. I remember that. They were a Philadelphia band.
All right, well, glad you made it back okay.
Yeah, it was fine.
Jersey Girl.
It was just fine.
What is this? Everybody is just calling now. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Mike?
Yes, sir.
I noticed all the lines ringing. An indication people are calling.
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Mike, are you busy this weekend?
Yeah, yes, I am, sir.
Okay, how about the following?
Why?
I'd like to take you on a bus trip to Atlantic City, please.
No. No, you love buses.
Hello, Donna, Mike show. Hello.
Hey, Mike.
What?
Did you take the bet?
Did I what?
Did you take the bet from Don?
Did I take the bet? Well, there was no real bet. They were just saying that they are, you know, they're counting on me gambling before Memorial Day.
Aren't you
going to
wager something on it?
No, you know what I'm going to do, sir? If I gamble between now and Memorial Day, they ain't going to know about
it.
Mm-hmm. Oh. No, except here's the thing. See, this is what's great about Mike. I can even say this right to his face, looking him right in the eye. You will totally forget that you had this conversation.
By Memorial Day?
Oh, a good chance by the end of today's show.
Donna and Mike, go to break, and we'll be right back after these messages.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Alcohol is a way of life. Alcohol is my way of life, and I aim to keep it.
The Don and Mike Show.
They try to help you, so go to hell.
Right.
Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
And welcome back to the best of Don and Mike. Well, rolling right along, we've got such a steaming, heaping plateful. We're just going to keep it going. Hey, remember Joe, I think it was Jay Rosen or whatever his name was. He was on after Don and Mike for a brief time, came out of Boston. Well, Don and Mike had a little fun with his reputation, and it is the best of Don and Mike.
Now, also got to thank our listeners who have done a little work and sent some electronic mail to donandmikewebsite.com about this guy, Jay Severin, the fake Bill O'Reilly,
right,
who's on the station. This comes from, if you want a reason to call the show tonight, besides mentioning our names, calling him a jerk off because, you know, it's what he wants.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. This is from September of last year. Pretty recent. From the Boston Globe.
Okay.
You ever heard of that paper?
I read it every day. Sports section.
All right. So I guess he was on the station WTKK.
All right.
So it says, listeners to the Jay Severin Show are accustomed to Jay admiring himself in the mirror of his own imagination. A glass so vast and glittering as to rival the Hall of Mirrors at Versailles. But last Friday, he outdid himself. He said he had won a Pulitzer Prize.
Oh, no.
This came as part of a conversation with a caller about the declining standards he sees in journalism. Here's what Jay Severin said. Quote, since journalism began, and up until the time, at least that I took my master's at Boston University, and may I add, without being obnoxious, up till and including the time that I received a Pulitzer Prize for my columns for excellence in online journalism from the Columbia School of Journalism, the highest possible award for writing on the web, right up to and including that in 1996, you still had to practice journalism to be a journalist.
Okay, so that's what he said.
So, the Boston Globe hears this, and they want to research it. Says, the Globe heard the claim and called the Pulitzer Prize people to check it out. We looked at the records, and there is no record of anyone named Jay Severin ever winning a Pulitzer Prize, said Sig Gessler, administrator of the Pulitzers. Nor is there a Pulitzer Prize for excellence in online journalism. How does Jay Severin explain this?
Yes, how?
Here's his quote to the Boston Globe.
Good.
What I said was, there's a prize that my editor told me is the equivalent of the Pulitzer Prize for web journalism.
That seems to be a theme with these guys.
Mm-hmm. They'll do it.
That's a hell of a caveat. Certainly it would have been if Severin had made it. The problem is, he did not make it. So the reporter says, I read him his on-air comment. Jay Severin responds, quote, I certainly could have been more precise. Then the writer writes, might I say truthful? Now to the matter of online awards. And then it just goes on and on.
Wow.
Let me see.
That's a very respected newspaper.
Then it goes on to say that the Online News Association, Online Journalists Association Award, they give an award. Jay Severin has never won that. He has never been nominated for that.
Huh. Well, I'm sure we checked all that out before we...
However, interesting, a Google search turns up two mentions of Jay Severin winning a Pulitzer for online journalism. They came in student newspaper articles covering a 2003 appearance at Boston College.
Oh, boy. So he's telling the college kids that he won the Pulitzer. Is that what it says?
Now, here's what the Heights reported. This would be the newspaper at BC.
Okay.
Currently, and this was in November of 2003.
Right.
Currently, Jay Severin is a featured columnist for MSNBC.com, for which he has won the Pulitzer Prize for online journalism.
Wow.
Many accounts also refer to him as a graduate of Harvard Law School.
Yes.
He is not, Harvard says.
Wow. Oh, man, beware.
Now,
be very afraid, as I always say. I'm saying it a lot lately.
Joel Peterson, who wrote the story for the college newspaper, thinks that the information about Jay Severin came from the person who introduced them. Now, where would anyone introducing Jay Severin have gotten the notion that he graduated from Harvard?
See, when you get a real newspaper, they dig and dig. Now, like
Jay Severin says, quote, I have no idea. But then one quickly occurred to him. As part of an arrangement made by his Boston University professors, he said, he sat in on a couple of classes at Harvard, although not as an enrolled student.
Right.
Perhaps whoever introduced him had heard him mention those classes on the air and arrived at the conclusion that he actually attended Harvard.
Mr. Spicoli, you're on a slippery slope here.
Anyway, then it goes on and on. It's,
that's darned interesting.
Let me see. It says, what can we conclude from this intriguing episode? Journalistic standards are not the only thing in decline. These days, Pulitzer Prize winners just aren't what they used to be either.
Yeah. Wow. Well written. Very, very. Who is the, did they give the author of the article?
I just clicked off.
Oh, okay. All right. I was just curious about that. I always like to know the author.
Well, somebody emailed that to us at the website.
Wow.
The archives of the Boston Globe. And that's recent. So that's just like, you know, 6 months ago from September of last year.
Very good. That's delightful reading. I like that. I really do.
So when you call him up tonight and call him a jerk off and tell him that, yeah, that's all we're living for is to get our names on his stupid show.
Right.
Tell him that Mike and I have won 10 Pulitzer Prizes.
And 6 Peabody's.
Yes.
Oh, a Marconi Award.
And the Farty.
The Farty.
Oh,
the prestigious Farty.
The Farty.
They're up for their third Farty in a row.
What the hell is wrong with people?
I don't know. Really? Why is it those guys, I mean, why do they always feel they have to put in a credential that, you know, they're on the radio.
Right.
They're a columnist.
Right.
It's an online column, but you've got the job.
Just be honest.
But they can't do it.
Be yourself.
Because they want to appear to be more than they are.
Somebody heard that Harvard thing and passed it along, and he thought, well, you know, why bother to correct it?
Yeah, that's right.
Let it stand.
Just like the Pulitzer Prize.
Right. We want people to have a favorable opinion of them so they lie about their credentials.
As long as we have a moment, can I just give a brief shout-out to the members of my troop from
Desert Storm?
Desert Storm.
You mean your battalion?
Yeah, when I won the...
the Purple Heart? Don?
You got to make it more credible. You got to say your unit. Your unit. What does that mean?
Just say it. Sounds credible.
My guy, is that
say hi to the guys in my unit?
Is that the boys that I camp with?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's right.
My unit. I thought you meant my thing.
Well, that too sometimes.
My unit. Yeah. And I won the Congressional Medal of Honor.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's what I won. The highest honor that this country can give for my service above and beyond.
You know, one of my brothers in Skull and Bones was mentioning to me that he really, really doesn't understand why I do a radio show like this with a law degree. Why? And I said, it's fun. It's much more fun.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can't tell you how many times they said to me, you know, amazing, you've got Gulf War syndrome.
Yes.
Yet you're managing to do the show. They said, what?
Well, how many guys seriously could have taken out an entire Iraqi tank by themselves, single-handedly?
They called me the human smart bomb, Mike.
By using just duct tape and scissors. You, sir, are an American hero.
May I say
greetings to all my fellow Eagle Scouts. While we're on the subject of saying hi to people.
And I think I would be a little out of line if I didn't say, and I don't mean to be elitist, how you Memphis doing? How you doing? How you eggheads doing?
Right. It's wonderful.
And Mike, being quadrilingual, I find it...
Wait, what's that again?
Being quadrilingual.
Lingual?
Lingual.
Lingual. Quadrilingual. I find it hard to speak in just one language.
Yeah, I know.
I want to speak one of my four.
You hear them all.
Yeah.
Chinese, Mandarin, Chinese.
You know, we haven't said it in so long, but I mean, this really is true, the fact that we're both medical doctors.
Yeah. Urgent.
I mean, we don't say it on the air. We don't say it's Dr. Don Geronimo, Dr. Michael Nera, but we could.
Pretentious if you did that.
I'm a gyno.
And I'm a bone man.
Okay, homo.
Homo says what?
And did I mention... I don't think we've ever talked about this on the air. Over the 20 years Mike and I have worked together, at least 15 babies we've delivered.
Mm-hmm.
At least 15 babies.
And that's
babies.
Not in the hospital setting. That's emergency deliveries, like in cabs, in parks.
Wherever we are.
Fire. Hockey games.
It seems to happen.
It's delightful.
You know, they just come out. It's like now it's
very
Monday.
Proud.
Who wants to bite the cord off? You know, and how many times can they come and say, please, be men of the year, because they can't decide between
right.
you and me.
Yeah, I mean, you with the with the Medal of Honor, which is pretty amazing. And when I did that great work mapping the Falkland Islands.
Oh, that was good.
Oh man, that was some interesting times.
But
I'd like to thank all my guides.
I'd also like to say hi to my friends at Pixar, because when I came up with the concept for Toy Story. And I said, listen, it's going to be a different type of animation.
Right.
It's going to be like nothing you've ever seen. There were a lot of people out there that didn't believe me.
Skeptics.
Not a lot of people have the courage you have to go into the Hollywood environment and say the words they hate to hear. Never been done before. But you did.
I said, Tommy, we're talking to Hanks.
Mm-hmm.
I said, Tommy, you're a wooden, no, strike that, plastic. You're a plastic cowboy. Tommy, get into character.
I couldn't believe that we inside of what, like a half hour lunch, just a brief lunch over sandwiches, you got him to commit to the project, and that's when it took off.
Yeah,
fantastic job.
It's history.
And let's face it, you know, PDA, PDA.
Mm-hmm.
Who can't live without the PDAs right now, huh? You know where that came from? I'm looking at him.
The D is for Donnie.
I'm looking at him.
Oh.
I'm looking at him right there. Said to me one day, said, you know what? Wouldn't it be great to have a little thing? I said, a little what? He said, you have to fit the palm of your hand. A piece, something that you would be able to put all your addresses in, all your phone numbers in, maybe even a GPS. I said, what the hell is a GPS? And Mike said, Global Positioning Satellite. And I said, what is that? And he said, oh, it's something I wrote down on a cocktail napkin.
Yeah.
Well, you know, people ask me if I have any regrets. And, you know, I wish that that I hadn't requested that they remove my name from the patent for fiber optics.
Who knew?
You know, I mean, it would have put a little extra money in the coffers.
You know what? But, you gave it all to save the children, didn't you?
I did indeed. I did indeed. And, you know, since we've been working together 20 years, people often ask me, you know, which was a better experience, working with Don or serving in the United States Congress. And I always go with you.
Sure.
I really do. Because, I mean, I think it's just we've had so much fun, and I think we've influenced a lot more people.
And let's not forget about Don and Mike's kids.
Mm-hmm.
Those, of course, would be, and I'm not talking about the cripples. We do help them.
Yep.
But the
fat kids.
The fat kids across America that we've adopted and put in our Donna Mike fat kid camps.
Mm-hmm. Fat camps around the country that, you know, every fat kid can go to camp and not spend a dime.
You guys are really making a difference.
And, you know, listen, and the other thing, don't belittle this. You know, come Jerry Lewis time,
mm-hmm.
you know, you'll see Mike and I at 7-Eleven buy a Shamrock.
Right.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
We have to fill the boot for muscular dystrophy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we do all that stuff. We've won very, very prestigious awards.
Yep. And we haven't even touched on athletics, which, you know.
Well, now that's bragging.
It's bragging, but it's also too long a list. It really is.
That's bragging.
Oh, dude. I mean, really?
That's bragging.
Pretty amazing stuff,
right.
Mr. DeCathlon.
All right. You know.
I just thought I'd give you your props.
Mike. Come on.
You know, I mean, to run as fast as you used to run. And
you and throw the javelin. Now, you know that I was on the roids because at the time I overcame ALS twice.
He's a genius.
I wish the
he
same,
truly is.
I wish the same to all afflicted children.
I know. Yes. I know. Well,
you
know,
I say to them, I beat it twice. You can beat it, kids.
And now, you know, walking around the country, it was just, I think 2 years ago, they stopped calling you the handsome Bruce Jenner.
Right. And you write the songs.
And no plastic surgery for him, like what Bruce Jenner's done to his face. And you have more records.
Okay. Now I got to turn it back around on you again, Mike.
Don't embarrass me, please.
If you don't mind.
All right. If you must.
Okay, listen. It's called the Hubble Telescope.
Stop it. Now, come on.
Listen.
All right.
Well, first off, he says PDA. I'm like, what the hell? Then he says GPS. I'm
right.
Like, what is it? Then he says Hubble Telescope.
Mm-hmm.
And now he tells me, what you've nicknamed Mars, what do you call it, the red planet?
Yeah.
You.
I just don't like to talk about it. I mean, I had to decline two interviews just this morning. They wanted to do them on the weekend, and that, of course, is when I'm having my backyard MDA carnival. I just don't have enough time to get it all done.
And don't forget about our frivolous events.
Yes.
When we rode the hot air balloon around the world twice.
Pretty amazing stuff.
We got in that little glider and we went around the world in that thing with our friend Dick Branson from Virgin.
And you have two men in the studio that are looking at each other that can hold their breath for over 8 minutes.
Yeah.
And we both have had vasectomies and had them reversed.
We have.
That is amazing.
Do you know why we've had them reversed?
Why?
Because people were clamoring. They said, please reproduce more.
The DNA. They needed to.
Well, we've done that. Look, you can't be, you can't have two Rhodes Scholars that that don't leave a little something in the vial, you know, for when they pass on.
So anyway, Jay Severin, don't worry about it. I can understand why someone would feel the need that they've made up an award. When you're guys like Mike and I, like Mike and me, you know, when you have so many awards, when let's face it, if it's not the Red Cross, I mean, and gosh, again, I don't want to toot my own horn.
No, but the individual achievements, I think, get overshadowed when you're working with a partner.
Okay, I'll say it. we were highly, highly impressed, humbled, when Mike and I flew down to New Orleans,
mm-hmm.
when we went down to the Superdome,
yep.
when we spent that 5 days down there helping those people,
yeah.
and when they came up and people were singing to us, tie a yellow ribbon around the old oak tree as we were throwing the MREs off the back of the mm-hmm. back of the truck.
My back actually hurt from all the people slapping it.
Sure.
It was pretty amazing. Yeah. Because down there, was it 4 days or 5 days we were down there?
Seven.
Oh, that's right, seven, because we didn't count the time we were separating the Siamese twins.
And all of the and all of our animal rescues that we had down there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Mike and I had those big swamp boats down there.
Yeah, and the thing that made it easy is because people don't realize that Don can talk to the animals. Yeah, I mean, I'm telling the truth. You have to see it to believe it. Get in the boat, and they would swim from the inside of the houses.
The Eddie Murphy movie is blasphemy. Okay.
It that, sure is.
Dr. Doolittle.
That's not how you talk. It's really an ESP thing that I have going with the animals. That's what's going on.
I'm an animal whisperer.
Do you, you know, we...
What?
Sorry.
What? What?
I was just thinking about the time after the tsunami when we built the children a palace of chocolate.
The kids will never forget that.
They'll never forget that. Absolutely not.
I can't say how many times.
So many good
things. How many times you get this? Huh? Mm. How many times you get this? Just go to the grocery store. Touch my baby.
Yeah.
Bless my baby.
See, we are not men of the cloth.
Bless my baby.
Please.
Lady, come on, get out of here.
Who do you think? Who do you think wrote the blueprint for that face transplant?
Yeah, you're looking at him.
Mm-hmm.
And incidentally, not that we want to brag, we have won the Pulitzer Prize the last 20 years
mm-hmm.
in a row. Funniest guys on at this time.
Yes, radio funny Pulitzer. Look it up.
Funniest guys on at this time. That's what it says
right.
on all 20 of our beautiful Pulitzer statues.
Mm-hmm.
And they're very much like the Oscars, except it's a guy named Pulitzer.
Yep. It's a delightful prize. It really is.
And it's almost like that thing that I have in my backyard with the naked boy.
Mm-hmm.
You know that thing I've got by the pool?
Right.
Yes.
The naked boy where it looks like he's going number one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Statue.
That's kind of what the Pulitzer looks like.
Yeah, only it's a guy. It's just a real short guy that's wearing horn-rimmed glasses.
And 1 year when they gave them out, it was that donkey. When you pull on his tail, a cigarette comes out of it.
Yeah.
You know, the thing that was nice about that, I mean, it was such a prestigious award, but also functional.
Yeah.
People get such a kick out of that when we go to your house and you lift the donkey's tail and out comes a nice Marlboro Light.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, Don and Mike. I'd like to thank you for carrying my Tourette's.
Hey, you know.
There you go.
It was. It really was scare therapy that was invented by Don.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know you're being bashful, but I want to thank you again for the kidney.
Okay. Bye! You're welcome. I heard there was someone in need.
He made it
right. You only had one.
Hello, Don.
That's the amazing thing about that.
Don Mike Show.
I want to thank you guys for Toy Story and The Incredibles and Finding Nemo. Those were great.
All right, those all came out of my Pixar crew.
Yeah, I like those. Those were fantastic. I really.
Your guys, as you like to call them. Your guys.
Are you just going to keep dancing around the Nobel Peace Prize you won?
Shh. Would you stop that, Buzz?
That is too embarrassing.
You know, I really should know.
Well, it's in the circle of the winners,
mm-hmm.
it's just not a good idea to mention it, you know,
that's
when you receive it because everybody knows it.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yes, I'd say that in 95 on the Martin Luther King Boulevard, they took down Animal X billboard and played with a Heineken beer billboard.
All right, well, now we're totally off topic here, but what you're telling us is that one of our billboards has been taken down. We will alert the media, sir.
Thank you very
Bye!
Much.
We are taking this moment to recount some of our best moments.
Yeah, just a few. It would be 4 hours or more if we wanted to.
Do you remember
all
last year when you and I spent a week inside that block of ice?
It was incredible.
Uh-huh.
Incredible.
Huh?
And all we had was two pockets full of vitamins.
Huh? Come on.
I tell you, after day number three,
okay.
pretty hard to swallow pills with your own spit.
All right, I think Jay Severin gets the idea.
Mm-hmm.
I think he gets the idea. I think our listeners get the idea. And remember, you can't spell Pulitzer Prize without pee-pee.
That's right. People don't realize, you know, I know we sound like we're tooting our own horn here, but
you have to.
People don't realize that both Don and I, at our shelter, have adopted all the children that Angelina Jolie declined. And she deemed unacceptable.
You never hear about that.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's got to love those kids up.
That's right. So,
And that's, you know, that's, you coined that phrase, too.
Love them up. You got to love them up.
Love them up.
Got to coach them up. You got to love them up.
Love them up. Get her done. That's his.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Palace of Chocolate. Just stop with the Palace of Chocolate. We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Zita Bindua! Zita Bindua!
Stop it, you're scaring me. Oh, cool, you're learning Cassandra's language. I've never seen you so mental over a girl before. Are you gonna marry her?
Garth, marriage is punishment for shoplifting in some countries.
The Don and Mike Show. If you haven't heard it, it's new to you. If you have, shut up and listen anyway. The best of Don and Mike.
Yeah! Welcome back to the best of Don and Mike. I have not got these buttons down. I should start drinking more, or more often. Well, it's just one day away from the weekend, and here we are in best of, and that means Don and Mike, they'll be returning eventually from vacation, but they'll be gone for another week. Till then, you've got me, the legendary Joe Arnger, with you. So, let's get right back into it. Now, these next couple of segments, just all over the place, makes them some of my favorite. It's the best of Don and Mike.
Okay, before the weekend talk begins, before anything else happens, tomorrow is maybe going to be the jivest day in recent history. 6606.
Okay, go ahead. Keep dreaming it.
Yeah, if you will.
Jive. Really? You know what? You're a brave man. You're a very brave man. Here you go. Right out of the chute, you're setting the table for disaster.
We've already pointed out. I mean, we've had proved that really the sign of the devil is not 666. Actually, it's...
Ladies and gentlemen, can I just distance myself from my co-host?
What is it again, Robbie?
616.
Last Thursday.
Nothing happened.
616 was last Thursday, right.
Follow him right into the abyss, Rob. Go ahead.
So, mainly I see it as a great promotion for that movie that's opening tomorrow, The Omen.
Right.
So, I've seen a trailer for that. Looks pretty good. We're going to be doing something tomorrow on the show, and we've got to put the call out right now. We're Tom Gavin. Tom, how would you like to be wearing a devil suit tomorrow in front of the radio station? Girls can come up and kiss the devil.
Yeah.
Win a dollar. You can tell us what it's like being Satan.
Can they run up and down the path out there? Can they run for the devil?
Of course not.
I wouldn't say run with the devil because he really isn't going to join you.
Right. The problem here is that we got no way to get a hold of Tom. So, Tom, we need you to call us.
Are you concerned?
Rob? No, not at all. Rob, can you tell us what type of devil suit we have secured for Tom, following up on his highly successful Easter Bunny performance?
He has a crotchless... No. I'm kidding, of course. We have secured for him horns.
Good.
A forked tail.
Is it the kind of mask that, like, envelops his whole head?
I don't know. We'd have to ask Joe. He picked it up today. I think it might just be horns.
All right.
A forked tail, a pitchfork, and a sweeping red cape.
Wonderful. Perfect. Yeah.
So we got the suit.
Yeah.
Excellent.
And we
kiss the devil.
Dress Tom up outside. And
is it for women only, or can men come by and kiss the devil?
Oh, sure. Come on.
Anybody can kiss the devil.
It's your chance.
First come, first serve.
Mike, hold on. Yes. God damn, we got 8,000 devil. There are so many devil songs out there. But we also have somebody calling in.
Who could it be?
Didn't take him long.
Hello?
Tom?
Hello? Hey,
hello?
Hello?
Hey,
Charlie!
Hi there, Tom.
Hi, Charlie.
Figured I'd give him, you know, just some motivated to come down and be the devil, you know?
Yeah!
Hey, Tom.
Yes?
Tom, do you know what tomorrow is? Tomorrow is 06.
06? 06? 07?
No, it's not.
06?
No, Tom.
06? 06?
Right, 06. And what does that mean? Any idea?
It's devil.
It's devil.
That's all you need to know.
Yeah.
Devil. Can we hear your best devil voice?
Right. listen, I don't want to quote the critics before the reviews come out. I predict the role he was born to play.
Come on, just kidding.
And we'll get you a comfortable chair. You want to be the devil tomorrow?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, he's excited about it.
So, Tom, if you would like, you could come down to the radio station.
Yes.
Tomorrow.
You look like an angel.
You look like an angel.
Yeah, here's the part.
Walk like an angel.
Yeah, walk like an angel.
Give you a devil suit, Tom.
Talk like an angel.
Got to pick it up today?
No. It'll be ready for you tomorrow. Hold on a second.
You're the devil in disguise.
Hey, how are you?
We're just playing some devil music for you, Tom.
Devil or Tom. We have the suit already, Tom.
You? Good.
All you got to do is just show up.
Are you excited, Tom?
Yes!
Sure. Why not?
Hey, guess what, guys?
What,
Tom?
These girls from California called me this morning from MySpace.
Really?
Yeah.
Are they hot?
They're hot. They want to TF me.
They want to TF you?
I want to TF them. They call me Mustard.
They call you Mustard.
Mr. Mustard. Colonel Mustard.
Why do they call you Mustard?
Because I...
Oh, Mustard.
The Mustard means monster.
That's right. Let's say that.
Oh, hold on. I get jokes. You use that one. Mustard. Okay, I guess.
Hey, I got a joke for y'all.
Yeah?
Knock.
Who's there?
Tom.
The devil.
The devil who?
The devil coming to Georgia.
Hey, I like that.
Yeah, buddy.
Hey, look, he's got it for you. Can you hear that, Tom?
Yep.
Tom, why don't you sing along with it?
I am.
Ladies and gentlemen, the devil.
The devil went down to Georgia. I was looking at his final bite.
Yep. That's it.
When he came across this yoke.
Right. Give the devil a
I bet a fiddle of gold against his soul.
There we go.
The boy said, my name is John. But I'll take your bet. You're going to win. I'm the best in the
That's right.
And everything is involved in my
heart. It's your soul.
Very nice, Tom. Very nice,
Tom.
Wow. On the Today Concert Series, Tom Gavin. Right down here at Rockefeller.
You called
Plaza.
The role he was meant to play.
Okay, Tom, you know, for anyone who's never heard you before on the show, and imagine someone just tuning down the dial today and just hearing this for the first time. How old are you, friend?
I'm 47.
Tom? How old are you, Tom? Tom?
47.
What are you doing to the phone, Tom?
No, I just switched phones over.
Ah, sounds better. In your control center?
Yep. Command post. Type command post, buddy.
Command post.
Command post. That's right.
I'm in command post.
All right. Well, Tom, we will look forward to seeing you tomorrow. Showtime. You'll be outside, comfortable in your devil suit.
Devil suit.
You're going to enjoy it, Tom.
Yeah, buddy.
You already have a perfect... You have a very good devil voice.
Hey, what's Charlie?
He's really excited.
Charlie.
Hello, Tom.
Ha-ha.
Ha-ha.
Satan.
Oh, he'll be here tomorrow, Tom. Let's not leave it in the locker room, son.
Yeah, you'll be having a chat with him tomorrow, Tom.
Tom will be on our star stage tomorrow.
Okay.
In one of his last public appearances here at the Fairfax, Virginia studios.
Yes, get a chance to see him while you can.
Okay. Yeah.
Maybe his last appearance.
Bye now, Tommy.
Joe?
Oh, yeah, hold on.
Hang on. Hold on. What would you want? And I'm picturing, you know, I know it's the devil horns, but I sure hope it's the... It's the whole, like, skin cap that surrounds the face.
I don't think it is. I think it most likely is, like the thing that...
One of those...
The thing that Geordi wore on Star Trek. One of those things that chicks... Yeah. Wait, what do you call that thing?
I don't know. One of those
head clamp.
Yeah, he just
puts
it on his ears. He's got the antenna.
Then he's also got the red cape, and
it's the sexy double costume.
He's got the pitchfork. I was hoping for a tail. Now, does he get a tail?
Rob said he's got a tail.
He's got a tail. Well, then there you go.
And it's sexy, which is, you know, at a lot of Halloween costume contests, it's a very sexy look for Tom. And his chair outside tomorrow. It's going to be exciting.
Kiss the devil for luck.
There you go. That's called...
kiss him right on the top of his head.
Mm-hmm. Or wherever. Let's call just one office back, but just to make a difference just today, let's have the phones not work.
Are they working?
This is John.
Ah, there you go. Hi, hi, Yanni.
Hello.
Hey, where's your retarded brother?
He's right here.
And he's having a Monday already, I can tell everybody.
Really? Hello.
Hello. Joe,
yes.
Pleased to be describing the devil suit for Mike and for everybody else.
Well, it's a cape, it's the pitchfork, it's a tail, it's the horns. It's down in my car. I can run down and get it.
Well, can you just describe the headgear to Mike?
Well, I think I couldn't really see it in the bag, but I think it's, you know, it's kind of like bunny ears, only it's devil horns.
Right.
You know how those things are on, like a plastic thing that fits on your head?
So there's no hood.
So maybe it is the hood. You never know.
Yeah, I mean, I'll run down and get it. We'll take a look at it.
Then we'll know.
Okay.
Then we'll know.
How was your weekend, Joe?
Not too good.
Why?
Saturday spent my time running back and forth to the bathroom.
Oh, really? Would you have the stomach flu?
You
have sick poops?
Oh.
Really?
I'm telling you.
Something you ate?
Words are coming hard today. So
I don't know. I don't know if it was something I ate or if it was something I picked up Wednesday night, you know, from the unwashed hands that I shook.
Hank's Look Around Cafe.
Something with a 48-hour incubation, Joe.
Perhaps.
Yes, Joe. I'm sure you are sick because you were out meeting our listeners.
It's possible. I get sick every time I meet the listeners.
Do you really?
Yeah, and I get sick every time I'm around Tom, so I'm expecting by Wednesday or Thursday I'll have to go through it all again.
You know, maybe rubber gloves might be in order for Tom's appearance tomorrow.
Joe, why do you think that would be? Because the rest of us met all of the people every time we have an appearance. We're around Tom. Now, granted, I'm not around him as much as his best friend Mike, but, you know, I shake his sweaty hand and everything. Why do you think you're the only one that gets sick?
I don't know. I guess I don't wash my hands enough.
I don't
carry around, like, wet naps constantly like I should.
Do you really seriously think that you're sick because you shook people's hands on Wednesday night?
I wasn't feeling well Friday morning, and it just escalated, and then on Saturday, all hell broke loose.
Wow. Well, what did you eat on Thursday night, the night after our appearance?
Mm-hmm.
He said, making it indelibly clear that that was 24 hours away from our appearance.
Yeah, I can't recall.
Exactly.
Can't recall.
Chicken. I hear John Norman.
Yeah, maybe it was chicken.
It's amazing he can't recall. He saw it as recently as Saturday.
No, I smelled it as recently as Saturday.
So how did you spend your Sunday, Joe? Did you recover?
Making it easy, yeah, and hoping, you know.
Ramping up to give us this level of commitment to excellence today.
Weren't you running the spin art stand at the carnival?
Yes.
Joe, what is your percentage?
Hey, he just got it.
What is Joe gets diarrhea jokes.
It was brown spin art, by the way.
No
Asherlock. No pun intended.
Right.
Jesus, you idiot. Joe, what do you gauge your percentage of Jonas to be on the Joe-o-meter today?
I'm in good spirits.
But give me a working number.
80%.
He's 80%. Let's give him a round of applause for
that.
That's pretty strong, Joe.
Now,
80%.
I just want to say in this day, Rob, I'm sure it's lower, but in this day of PC cover your ass, imagine that if you could really go into a work setting and your supervisor says, how you feeling today? And you say, I'll give you 80% today.
Sure.
and your
employer would high-five you. Way to go. It's better than normal
good
days.
Job.
No, you would be afraid to do that.
Yeah, you'd be terrified.
The standard answer is, you know, 100%. I'm 100% today. Joe, congratulations on
that. John, I don't want to disappoint you.
But congratulations, but Rob's right. Let's be honest. You're highballing it.
60, right?
Actually, I feel great today.
I give him a D+.
I'm happy. I got the devil suit.
I would grade him out of the 68, based just on seeing him and the tasks that he's had to do before the show. Like, for instance, that one switch wasn't flipped over the right way.
And the tape was threaded wrong.
Okay, but I'm 100% of that 68.
100% of that 68%.
There you go.
Okay.
Welcome to Booger Carnival. Would you like to make some spin art?
Okay, bye, Joe.
Good day.
Bye-bye. You know, note, just real quick.
He'll be fine by Wednesday.
Note to self. Never ask Joe about weekend. Never ask Joe.
Kind of a dangerous, slippery slope we were on.
How was his weekend? Yeah. Well, not good.
It kind of came out of nowhere that all of a sudden, I was running back and forth to the bathroom.
We didn't really care. Didn't really care about that too much, Joe. we did not. Now, let's see. Let me just check this to see. Okay. There we go. Now we're up and operating, but hold on a second.
What?
Rob, what have I done here?
Oh, you brought up Keith Richards.
Who the hell is that?
That's Keith.
A Keith Richards screensaver? Okay, can you go back to that? Okay, and...
Who would have installed that?
Beautiful.
I have no idea.
Probably the guy that's 80% or 67% or 100% today.
100% lock, it's the guy we were just talking to.
Okay, there you go. That's another thing that wasn't done, but who's counting?
Doesn't matter.
The phones were locked, but now they're unlocked.
We're getting some wonderful information about our new location. Things seem to be going full speed ahead on that.
No.
Oh, right? With our new joint?
Yes.
Yeah, well, I mean, what wonderful...
All good news.
What wonderful information are you talking about?
Just how every time I hear about it, it's going to happen, and Rob told me today. How many days, Rob, is it going to be before we're going to be... 15 more shows before we're there.
There you go, baby.
It's a very, very good thing. You know, I've been conditioned to be disappointed. And every time I hear these updates, and they seem to be progressing in a very rapid rate.
No,
so that, it's the numbers are actually getting smaller every day.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hello? My name's Forrest. Forrest Gump. Do you want a chocolate? I could eat about 1.5 million of these. My mom always said life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
The Don and Mike Show.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program. The best of Don and Mike.
Thank you, Sonny. And welcome back to the best of Don and Mike. Don't forget, for all things Don and Mike, go to donandmikewebsite.com. You can check out pictures and, podcasts and, all those funny pictures that people send in. What do they call that? The funny art? I can't recall because you know what? I want to get back to the best of. Now, I believe this best of tape comes from when we moved into the new studios here at Rockville. Let's check it out together. It's the best of Don and Mike.
New studios look like all systems G.O., baby.
That's right.
G.O.
I haven't even done my practice drive yet.
Nope, me neither.
You haven't done that either?
No.
No, maybe we'll have to do it.
I haven't tried it.
Well, you should commit to making the practice drive to the new digs.
Yes. Yeah, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to map it out. I'm going to actually get the mileage, and then I will be trying to set the land speed record to see just how fast I can make it. Because really, even though it's further from my house, the new location, I plan to make the commute shorter.
Good for you.
Really?
Yep.
Will you carpool?
Good luck.
No, I'm going to do it whatever way necessary.
Public transportation, Rob.
I forgot.
You're going to metro bus it.
No, it's a little thing we call a smaller vehicle and sidewalks. There you go.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. It's what we're going to try to do. Pedestrians, beware.
Uh-huh.
It's work time.
You can't really, you got to take the highway to get there.
Yeah, you're right.
Gotta
probably all
the
highway.
You got to take the highway, you got to take the beltway to the spur off the beltway. To
okay,
the
all right.
Big six
then we don't
lane.
Need the motorcycle.
No sidewalks.
I got a big tank of a vehicle. I'm going to use the emergency lane.
There you go.
You know, it's usually underutilized. In some places, they actually use it for an extra lane, don't they?
How many times have you been caught in some gigantic-ass backup, and you see some guy, and it's always the first guy that goes over to use the far, most cases, right-hand lane.
Right.
And you think, pretty cool, because you watch him speed by everybody, and then you wait, and there's two or three more cars, and then you jump out there, and then the moment you jump out and you're breezing by all those other people.
The mom in the minivan that decides to pull out just to stop you?
No. I was thinking about specifically on 66.
Okay.
If you happen to be coming inbound, right by Notley Street, right?
Not by where
the subway is, right by where the metro station is.
Right.
You could be cruising along in that extra lane, like looking at the people going, hey, suckers, you suckers going 35, and all of a sudden, Jack, there's a wall in front of you.
Yeah.
That lane is not made
right
for people to drive in.
Right.
I saw a clever trick yesterday. There was a backup at the bridge on the Beltway.
Yeah.
And we all had to part ways because an ambulance was coming through.
Mm-hmm.
And there was about eight people behind the ambulance keeping pace with the ambulance cutting through traffic. It was very nice.
And we've gotten some real pros in our area.
Yeah.
I mean, that know how to deal with this stuff.
Very nice.
Guilty.
You've done that?
Not right on the ambulance's tail.
Oh, I said words like
that. Oh, that's horrible.
I said shock.
Never do that.
Guilty. Come on, you're guilty too.
You bet your ass I am.
Of course.
I don't consider that like doing anything bad.
You'll end up in an ambulance.
No, I mean, what you're doing is you're just keeping up with the pace of the emergency.
Just happened to have cleared the way for
it. I was like
riding the wave.
Driving with Miss Daisy Spiewak.
Hey, I just
driving Miss Daisy. Hold on.
John.
Hi, John, it's Don. How are you?
Hi.
Would you please repeat what you said to me when we were going to Mike's restaurant last Wednesday night to meet our listeners where Joe allegedly got sick? When we pulled up to a light together to make a left-hand turn and you rolled your window down, I said, hey, John, and you said what?
It's like having your grandmother follow you or dragging a lead weight behind your car.
Wow.
John was, look at that.
He surprised him.
John was having to go so slow because Rob was following him, and Rob refused to.
Rob, you've had that rap as a slow driver your whole life.
How can you possibly be faulted for following too slow?
Hold on a second. It couldn't have been
time.
Too bad because we caught everybody else.
No, but you see, it's not my fault if you're the guy in
front. Well, no, you can follow too slow.
How many yellow lights did I drag you through, Rob?
I don't keep count. I just keep
it. At least three.
So what is that? So I went through them.
I can tell you what it is. I can explain because it's happened to me before.
What
John is saying is that he was having to keep a much slower pace just to make sure you were close to him.
So he didn't lose you.
Oh, my God. So he was courteous?
No, it's not courteous.
No,
he's right. It's just like when you have an old lady, and I know when I've had an old lady I love, Big Frida, had her follow me to the beach.
And you have to really be conscious of the person in back of you.
You do that thing where you almost think like you're a NASCAR driver, because not because you're going so fast, certainly, because you're, in most cases, going 60, maybe 61. Right. But you can't concentrate on the cars in front of you and make your cat-like moves to pass people because you've got someone behind you who you think might not be fast enough to keep up with your lightning
moves. I thought the three of us did a pretty decent job.
Absolutely.
Heading out there, three people in tandem. We were kind of zipping out there. And
yet stupid slow Rob caught up with you. How did this happen?
It's not stupid slow Rob.
Don't shoot the messenger.
There was no stupid or slow.
We didn't say it. John said it.
And you know, when did you
caught up with us?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, at 28, right?
Yeah.
I want to withdraw what I said, John, and I want to thank you for dumbing it down for me. Thanks, so I didn't get lost. God knows I'd still be out there driving.
You have always refused to accept your slow driving. I mean, and I haven't driven enough with you to really formulate my own opinion on it.
Let's correct that.
Let's drive around. It may not have been as bad as I represented.
Had
it been myself, I would have driven a little faster.
Well,
John, back off.
Don't pussy out.
Come on.
I'm not pussying out.
Well, then what were you showing off when you rolled down the window and said that to me? I had no knowledge.
How many years have we been talking about your driving? Seriously, your slow driving.
Like 13 years.
13 years.
I had zero knowledge of Rob following John. I pull up to the light. The windows go down. Hey, John, right away. He says, about the old lady behind me.
This is a story full of holes because you guys left way ahead of us. And yet we all got to Route 28 at the same
time. Hold on. Now, I take that commute, and I know the commute we're talking about, and I will say that the reason for that, your only reason for that, long traffic lights. Long traffic lights, the only reason
right.
you got
no,
it.
John, don't pussy out. Well, what were you doing? Were you being a big man with me, making fun of Rob?
I felt like I was having to drive slower than I normally do.
I'm a magnificent driver. And
yes, you are. I didn't see you hit anybody.
And I am fleet.
Do you still have the old car, or do you have the family truck?
I was in the Tahoe that night.
You still drive around in the old lady
Capri.
Car, right?
Yes, the
Capri.
The 1995
and that
Chevy
is a
Capri.
Perfect car for you because you drive slowly.
It's a perfect car for me because it's Corvette speed and Cadillac comfort.
big. I don't think it ever goes above 30.
That's why he'll have it till he's 70.
The digital speedometer has but one number. Only 9.
All right, well, you boys should straighten this out among yourselves.
Yeah, let's have a fight.
Yeah, 7 o'clock down in the garage.
That'll be good.
All right. Too
funny. Stand by your convictions, John.
All right.
We'll be there.
All right,
You've driven with Rob more than anybody else, probably, right?
Absolutely.
And you were the first one to talk about it. You were the first one to talk about the speed factor, the Speedwack speed factor.
Whoa.
I really don't think it's necessary to get in the left lane due to the fact that that would be dangerous.
I love Don and Mike show.
Oh, is this Jeff WJFK?
Yeah, this is the Don and Mike show. Who is this? Pray tell.
My name is Stacey Crow, and I have a quick question for you.
Yeah,
all right.
Stacey Crow.
I was told.
Boy, I hope I don't have to eat crow during this call.
Bada bing.
Well, you're pretty funny.
Thank you.
Let's see. I was told to call Steve.
Hold on just a second.
I'm a radio guy.
I am so sorry. So what do you say? I know your last name's Crow. What's your first name?
Stacey,
I think we're going to just have to need to get our translator in for you. Okay?
Okay.
All right, Stacey.
I'll tell you this about Stacey Crow.
Mm-hmm.
Her mom's got it going on. All right, go ahead. Go ahead, Robbie. Stacey, what can we do for you?
Okay, I was told to call you guys. I'm having a terrible problem with the vehicle I purchased from Chevy.
From Chevy?
It's been the shop. And they're giving me a hard time. I was told to call Steve's for some help.
Yes, well, unfortunately, I think you, darling, have called the wrong show.
Okay. Yeah, you're calling during the week, and the Pat Goss program would be on the weekend.
I'm sorry.
But what's the problem with your car? Just for snicks, maybe we can help you. We're guys, we know about cars.
It's a Volkswagen, and
hold on just a second, Stacey. Our translator is translating a little too much. Maybe he's stressed out because someone said he drove slow. He's translating a little more than he normally does.
Repeat that for us one more time, please. We're having problems hearing you.
Okay. I have a Suburban. A Chevy Suburban. I purchased it, and it's acting crazy. And it's been shot 5 times, and they keep telling me it's perfectly normal. Uh-huh. And I was told to call these guys for advice.
Right.
And my problem is I'm trying to keep my rights for as a car owner. You know how it is.
We do. That translation was much better than the first one.
She was speaking clearer.
Yes.
I think, let me see, I'm no auto expert, but the problem I think I speak for everybody here is that you're a woman.
No, you have, my dear, you have what I would...
Hello?
Oh, dear.
I think she took offense.
Oh, dear.
She doesn't get jokes.
And we didn't even get to tell her the bad news is that Pat Goss passed away. So she can't get
it. That was not helpful. He did not. Now people are going to believe
you. Why do you say things like that?
Because he's under stress. He's under stress after the Norman attack.
Mr. Goss is
he's fine.
Really? Why would you say that?
Funny.
Funny.
Pat Goss is alive and well, and he's still doing his show on
course,
the station.
Yeah. Pat and Bonnie, good friends of mine.
Oh, yeah. A liar. Making me throw stuff at you.
I think she's got a lemon.
A lemon. Oh, I think she's got an onion.
Oh, I bet she does. I bet she's got a lemony onion.
What the hell? That poor lady.
Yeah.
See, when they call, they can't hear Rob doing what he's doing.
Right.
So she just, assumes that she's just talking to us.
Yes, and then, of course, the woman comment, I guess she didn't care for. I don't understand why.
That is the problem.
Just try to have a little fun, folks.
That's right. Hold on, what's the problem there? Hello, operator?
Yep. We're having a little trouble with the phone line.
I gotta reset everything. Before we go to break, I'll just tell you one fast thing about driving around over the weekend. I did see the greatest thing. There was this poor schmuck who was wearing a Scooby-Doo costume, a rental Scooby-Doo costume, and he was having to hold up a sign for a yard sale.
Uh-huh.
And he was out on a relatively major road,
mm-hmm.
and I guess it was for a housing development that was right off this big four-lane highway.
Right.
Speed limit, incidentally, 55.
Yeah.
So he's standing right by the Exxon or Mobil, whatever the hell it is.
This is for a regular retail store or a private yard sale?
For a private yard sale.
Oh, it's going the distance for a yard sale.
So the guy's out there in the Scooby-Doo suit,
right.
And I'm running some errands on Saturday, and I go past one, and I see him, and then I go past the other way, and I see him again, and... People are not honking at him. People are giving him a hard time. And for whatever reason, because he's not acting like your typical mascot. No. I mean,
he's not waving to the kids?
No, I can't imagine. He's just holding a sign up.
Uh-huh.
He's just holding a sign up. And the fourth time that I passed him because the errands were like crisscross. Go to this place. Hold on. I forgot I go to this place.
Right.
I can take a shortcut. Go this way. So I'm four times.
Tell the truth. You actually passed him because you wanted to.
No. On the way back home, final time, great moment. I saw him flipping off people.
There you go.
Now, here's how I know.
Right,
now,
Scoop.
He has the Scooby. He has the Scooby-Doo hand on.
Right.
So what is funny to see is, by this point, the sign now, because he's getting into it with somebody.
Right.
Because he's by a stoplight, and it's raining. And
right.
It's been not pouring rain, but it's been sprinkling on and off. And
imagine the smell of that.
You know, this loser in this yard sale suit. Oh, my God. And if by chance he's listening, he's got to be the only guy in the world in Northern Virginia on Saturday that was outside in the rain.
Did he look to be an adult?
Yes.
Okay.
In a Scooby-Doo suit. Call because I got to see the guy have what I think was the beginning of the breakdown.
Right.
When the sign went down and the hand goes up.
Now did he have to do the deal where he folded the other fingers down?
No, this is what's great.
Artificial hand.
This is what's great. The hand goes up.
Yeah.
And when the hand goes up, he starts getting some of this. He starts getting... Because all of the kids think, that the people that are there with the kids,
right.
think that the guy on the side of the road is waving at him.
No.
The guy, you got to look at his face to read his lips, to hear him saying, mother effer.
How can you see his lips through his head?
Because he had the face cut out in the middle. It wasn't a Scooby. I'm sorry if I misrepresented.
Yeah, when you said Scooby-Doo, I thought he had the whole big dog head.
No,
right?
No, it was the dog body.
Oh, but but you could actually see his face.
It was the dog body, and I think kind of like what you want with Tom with
right.
the devil suit, where he did have...
The dog head on on the top of his head.
Yes, and then his entire face was cut out, so you could see the guy's face.
Was the altercation like with one particular individual that got him going?
Yes, it was.
I love that.
Yes, it was.
Almost like when we got chased down the street on M Street in Georgetown by the McDonald's French fry.
And what was great was that...
F you!
I'm sitting there watching this, thinking, oh, this is really great. Because he's mad. But nobody knows he's mad. And he's trying so hard to give the finger. And it's just that big, dumb Scooby-Doo hand.
Right.
So I just wanted to put out a search for this guy. I've not given the location.
Well, I'm sure people would know the Scooby-Doo yard sale. I mean, how many people have a yard sale where they have that costume?
Right. Only he would know the location where I saw him lose it and drop his sign and flip this guy off.
But did he appear to be directing people towards like a yard sale somewhere in another neighborhood? Or,
yeah.
So he
yeah.
was like at a main drag.
Yeah, on a right by the intersection of two very major roads.
That's right, Scoob.
Speed limit. Day.
Flip off the cars with kids in them, Scoob.
45 mile an hour speed limit. And he was just standing out there. And I just want to say, if you're out there, call in.
Please.
Got a prize for you because I'd like to know what it takes, what level of man it is that stands outside on Saturday morning in the rain in a Scooby-Doo suit for a yard sale. And what is it that pushed you to the point where you had to lay down the sign and start to verbally take on some thugs? I mean, really.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
Like corn. Enjoy it a second time. Second time. The best of Don and Mike.
All right. Welcome back to the best of Don and Mike. And, well, that's another day of a bo-dam. But we got one more segment for you. It's been a beautiful Thursday, and tomorrow's Friday. Can't wait for that. I've been your host, the legendary Joe Ardinger, with you, and let's just go out on this note. Now, sometimes I don't really know where segments are going, but in this segment, Don and Mike, tie a listener to a tree? No good can come from that. It's the best of Don and Mike. See you tomorrow, everybody.
Hey, Mike.
Hi, Don. You know, it's been a month of fun days since we've been outside on a hot, hot day to take it out on some of our listeners.
This is a very famous tree out here, a very, very famous tree where we have punished people for years. So I like calling it the punishing tree.
We're right out front of the station on Main Street. This might be the last time that we're actually out here doing something.
And what a great day. It's current temperature, 96 degrees.
May I just say one thing?
That
as usual, Bob has the grounds looking magnificent.
Bob Skin, who is our landlord, has done a beautiful job over the years. This tree has been the site of many, 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 for lack of a better word, public, what?
When you guys started here, this tree was half this size. It's grown with the show.
I don't want to say punishments. People have learned valuable lessons on this tree.
This tall oak that stands outside our studios.
If it could talk. Now, we had a particularly horse's ass-ish guy who called during the first break.
He motivated you.
Yeah, he was rambling on about how come we're moving the show to Maryland instead of Virginia when it really is just a matter of the equipment. We wanted to do something to get the time back from him.
As I look at the base of the tree, Don, I see the colony of ants that still thrives. You know, no matter how nice the grounds are manicured, we still have these lovely, lovely ants that call this tree home.
We're going to be using them. So the guy that was on the phone, he said he would do anything to make it up to us. We said, come on down and let us strap you to the tree. He would not. However, we have two very brave guys who are going to take it on the chin and other places for everybody else.
Yes.
Let's bring them over. Come on over. Take your shoes off. Take your shirts off. And let's start with the guy with the Chevrolet shirt on.
They're both wearing the same uniform. They have the sneakers, the shorts.
And let's also say hi to celebrity judge Bobby Mailman. Hi, Bobby.
How you doing, Dynamite?
Now, Bob is here with his jet ski, and also you're going to be helping out as one of the official duct tapers?
Damn right.
You like punishment, don't you?
Yes, I do.
You enjoy. You got a sadistic streak in you, don't you?
Yeah, I might do a little something myself.
All right, very good. All right, that's exciting.
So we've got Robert with duct tape. We've got Buzz with duct tape. We've now got the two guys. Let's get their names out.
Looks like one of our lads spent looks like they both had a little too much Memorial Day.
They got the farmer's tan going. They got the wife beaters going. What is your name, my friend?
Tim Wyatt.
Tim, where are you from?
Clifton, right down the road.
Now, Tim, you're such a good man to do this for that ass. Did you hear the ass that called the show in the first break?
I did. That was shameful.
It was shameful, and here you are, much like Christ our Savior, sacrificing yourself for the sins of others.
It's the least I could do after 6 years of service from you guys.
That's a delightful way to put it.
I can't help but notice that between those beautiful mitts, you have a lot of chest hair. That's not probably all going to be there. Oh, and your back
hair. Oh, and back hair.
Are you okay with that?
Whatever.
Are you married to that chest hair?
No, I kind of like it, but that's what has to be done.
Very nice.
Mike, we've got razors, we've got honey, we've got duct tape, we have water balloons. Who is our other guy?
Hi, what's your name, sir?
Brian.
Brian, where are you from?
Falls Church.
What do you do, Brian?
I'm assistant manager at Jiffy Lube.
Oh, wonderful. Okay, so you got the day off, you got the week off, or are you just playing hooky?
On vacation.
And you're covered with these tattoos. Have you ever served in our military, son?
Yes, I was.
That's wonderful. That's what's right. You sure you're a veteran?
Well, 2.5 years I got out of for a medical.
Dishonorable discharge, I understand, yes. Medical. Was it a psychological discharge?
I wish.
Okay.
Aspire someday to be the manager of the Jiffy Lube?
No, I hope to own my own.
And what made it? What motivated you to come down here, Klinger? What did you want to do?
I heard the guys talking about Virginians with no law. You know, you're not loyal to Virginians, and I've been listening to you guys since WAVA.
So you wanted to step up for Virginia?
I mean, just because you guys are moving doesn't mean that you don't like Virginia.
I mean,
we hate Virginia, but let's just keep that between us. That's a joke, like Mike in Boston. That's a joke.
The Virginia thing's a joke.
let's get you guys over here by the trees, or I should say by the tree, because it'll be one on one side, one on the other, right, Mike?
Yeah, we're gonna have one guy on one side of the punishing tree, and. Now, guys, either one of you, are you allergic to a colony of fire ants?
I hope not.
How about you, son?
No, not that I know of.
All right, how about you, big boy? Get your back right on this side.
Do you want to put him street? Let's put him street side facing the street.
All right.
You want to do that?
That's right. Face, move it over this way a little bit, and you right there. Beautiful.
Very nice.
Now, Robert and Buzz. Hi, Buzz.
Hi.
Buzz is out here. He's got a roll of duct tape with him.
Bobby Mailman and Buzz, please go ahead. Do your duct taping.
Very good.
Let's get these guys very tight.
Very important to make sure that their arms... are you getting a spare? I just heard that drop out. Very important to make sure that their arms are restricted.
Can you feel it? Is it getting tight?
It's getting tight.
kid you. Now, I'm sure you probably could. Buzz, don't ask if it's too tight. If you could you break out right now, do you think?
Oh, probably, definitely.
What about you? If you could, do you think you could break out now?
No, I don't think so.
Now, usually a few more raps will do it.
Do this.
Shot.
And I'm in my car.
Robert the mailman is delighted to be duct taping the honkies to the tree.
Now, Robert has really got you around the neck.
Yeah, that feels good.
Robert, how would you describe this feeling?
It's wonderful. It feels like redemption.
Yeah. Redemption.
Thanks Robert.
Redemption for Robert. You know, for some particular reason, Robert seems to be focusing on their neck.
Robert is...
I'm not
Robert
sure why he's doing that.
Hi there. Robert is really skipping around and laughing.
Robert has now officially duct-taped one of these lads' heads to the tree, right across
now,
the forehead.
Just so you know, they're going to be outside the station for the entire rest of the show. Whatever we got left, an hour and 10
right.
minutes.
What? Did you kiss that black girl?
Now, Robert, I don't think there's any reason, you know, just like before, to equate this with an ugly period in American history.
Did you kiss that black girl?
And told her I'd never call her again.
All right, I believe that they are...
Robert, once again, has made this an ugly racial thing. Seems to be the theme of today's show.
They're sufficiently taped.
Yeah.
They are. I would actually... Robert. All right. Very good.
Robert's out of his freaking mind.
Do you guys feel like your movement is pretty sufficiently restricted right now?
And the breathing.
How about you? Are you having trouble breathing?
No, I'm all right.
All right, how about you? Are you doing all right?
Man, I couldn't get out of here.
All right, Robert.
Now, Robert, that's a little gay.
Robert
is giving him nipple twisters. No.
Robert, stop.
No. Jeez. That's for later. Save that for later.
Now, Robert, that's totally uncalled for. You're giving him the purple nipples.
Oh, we got to move back over there a little bit because we're dropping out just a wee bit.
Okay, Mike, I think what you wanted to do first was throw water balloons at them.
Do we have some water balloons? That's really what I'm looking forward to. It'll cool them off. That's quite an angle on the breast over there. That looks very female.
You know, as a matter of fact, hey, Rob, hold on a second.
Robert, this is very homophobic here.
Stop it. Rob, do me a favor.
Homoerotic.
Hold on. Robert, move away. Right here.
Come here.
Get a picture of me cupping this guy's breast. And tell me if you don't think that this could be a female breast.
It truly does look like that.
That's
wonderful. That's delightful. All right, so we've got the water balloon.
All right, Mike, we're ready for your first water balloon.
All right, thank you very much, Rob. All nice and full. Roll.
Oh, good.
Which of you wants it first?
Oh, please.
All right, are you ready? Give yourself a three count.
Hey, Mike, we can get out in the highway if you want.
All right, here we go. On the count of three, down both together.
Ready?
One, two, three. There we go.
Now, we need somebody to brave to stand up there with the microphones while we hit them again.
All right, here we go.
Hey, Travis.
Come here.
Come here, Travis.
Hold this microphone and stand right by them, okay? You might get wet.
All right, here we go.
Like a grown
man. All right. Okay. We'll do it. Let's get to the right. We can't go out in the street now. Ready? One, two, three.
No! Oh, he ducked. He ducked.
Oh, damn it. Damn it, Travis.
We couldn't get Travis.
Oh, Travis, you fooled us.
All right.
You fooled us, Travis. Damn it. Oh, Travis is going to take one for the team.
All right,
one,
go ahead.
One, two, three.
There we are.
Yes. Thank
Let
you,
me get
Travis.
One of the guys over here, fellas.
All right. Boom. Oh! There we go. How about another one?
All right, now, I would like the shaving cream and the razor, please.
Very good. Moving over here. Going to get this guy.
And Mike, now, Robert, don't take your belt off.
No, Robert. Robert, we are not beating them. We are not flogging. No, Robert, that hit his toe. Stop. Robert's out of control.
There we go. The first thing I would like to do is take a little bit.
Oh, there's an ant on me.
Oh, really?
I think
Where's
so.
The honey? Where's the honey, Junior?
Robbie,
yes.
A razor, please.
Yes, careful.
Now, Jeff. Mike, I need you to help me describe what I'm doing.
All right, Don is now shaving this guy's right side of this guy's chest.
Oh.
He's going to put a little X there. Be gentle. You don't want any blood. Ha, 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 ha. Very nice.
Oh.
You're going to have just a little strip there.
Mike,
that's tough, coarse hair.
Mike, would you be a love, and would you find me some ants?
Yeah,
sure.
And Buzz, can I have the honey, please?
Where are the traps?
You know what? I'm going to have to wash this area off first. Mike, excuse me for a second. Mike, stand by.
Okay, hold on. All right, very good.
See, it was hit him with a water balloon, and it got all of the shaving stuff off.
What you're doing...
The honey is open and ready to go.
What you're doing is you're shaving the area that you're going to put the honey on, and then we're going to find some ants.
Oh.
You know, I can't
see...
How's
that honey feel?
That feels really sexy.
I can't seem to find any on the tree.
On
perhaps we could go into the men's room here at WJSK.
Right. That's good. That's good.
He's got honey all over his face.
Thank you. That's good.
Now, I don't want the other guy to feel left out. How you
doing? Good.
There you go. Now, explain what I'm doing to you right now.
Honey, all over the face. I've got to remember this for my wife tonight.
That's good.
And now, explain where the honey's going now.
Honey's going in my belly button, down my pants.
All right, I'm getting a handful of mulch done. I think we may have some ants in here.
Oh, all right, go ahead, Mike.
All right. We might have some. We might have some mulch. Let me see if we can see any of the ants that are in there. Are there any?
Whatever.
Just now, I really reach for a handful. The ants are in the mulch. I've seen them.
Mike, let's take care of the guy over here who has less hair on his chest.
All right, very good. Okay,
I've got a bunch of honey on this guy's chest. Mike, could you grab some more mulch over here, please?
Yeah, let me just. I'm trying to see where some ants are. Hold on a second. Let's do this.
Over here. There we go. Now this is just. Are you documenting all of this?
Yes, I am. We will have it all on the website tonight.
All right.
This is just too beautiful. There you go. Now Mike is now rubbing the combination. Now, Mike, here's where we're going to get a little bold.
Okay.
Robert, would you hand me the Barbasol, please?
Yeah, all right. Sir. What are we shaving next?
Well, we're not necessarily shaving.
All right. All right.
What we're doing.
Oh, you know what we need too.
We're just covering these guys right now with shaving cream.
Oh.
So they're covered with shaving cream.
Do we have any makeup?
And bugs.
Do we have lipstick?
Yeah. Oh.
Lipstick.
Perfect. However, Mike.
I just want the lipstick.
Don't you think that they both have too much shaving lotion on their faces? Don't they each need a water balloon in the face?
They need a water balloon in the face. All right. All right, here, hold that for a second. I'm sorry, Rob. All right.
Robert likes the nipples.
All right, now hold on, boys. Got to get
Robert
right in the face.
All right.
Okay.
Hold on. You going to take the other guy? You want me to get this guy?
I'll take the other one.
All right, ready? Here we go. Now close those eyes. This might hurt.
Okay.
All right.
Oh,
damn it.
Are you ready?
Ready.
Here we go.
Right in your face. Frank Murphy just then.
Ow.
All right, here.
How is
it? All right, this is going to hurt because I really, in order to break it, I have to use
school. Go for it.
Oh. There we go. All right, there.
Wow.
We need a towel.
Okay, now. Look at that thing spurt out.
Wow. All right, how about one of their shirts?
Hold on, Mike.
Yeah.
One moment.
Oh, good. We have donuts.
We also have courtesy of Dunkin' Donuts. Hi there. Do you like donuts?
I love jelly donuts.
All right, there you go. Okay, all right.
Eat it all.
You don't want to block the airway here. All right, here we go.
Do you like jelly donuts?
Oh, definitely.
There you go. All right, there you go. All right, you okay? You can go ahead and spit it out if you want. You can do that. Jesus saves. Robert, did you write Jesus Saves on there?
Now, Mike, okay. I think they're ready.
Look, if you want, you might want to take this home.
Mike's putting a donut in the guy's pocket.
Here we go.
Jesus Christ. This might be the worst thing we've ever done to people.
There it is. All right.
Now, what would you guys like to say as you sit here on display for the next hour outside our studios? What would you like to say? What is the message that you're trying to get across to the people that are driving by who might listen to the show?
You know, it's, I don't know if it's brave or stupid that we're doing this, but we are showing that we love Dunn and Mike.
That is, I could cry.
Thank you.
What's your name again, son?
My name's Tim.
Tim, right. Somebody hand me Tim's shirt. I got some.
It's both. It's brave and stupid.
I've got some jelly, some cream on my hand.
So do
here.
I, Mike.
Oh, thank you.
All right, here we go.
Thank you.
All right, yeah, community-wide.
Mike, did you want to put any makeup on them before we go inside?
Well, Robert kind of beat me to the punch by circling.
Robert seems
to be amazingly focused on this one guy's nipple. Very, very frightening.
How do you feel about the attention Robert has put on your nipple?
I kind of like it.
Robert, let me see.
I
want to
feel special.
All right, did you, like, use all the...
No, I didn't.
Greedy.
I got some in my
car. All right,
car.
Now, Mike, are you finally... Look at that. He used up all of the lipstick.
Every bit of it.
I'm sorry, fellas. Let me go buy some more.
Robert, it took it. You must have used an entire...
I can't even write ass on this
An
guy.
Entire stick of lipstick on this guy's nipple.
I'm sorry, man. This is so sweet and tasty.
Look at you killed the whole lipstick.
That's disgusting from Robert.
How are you doing, friend?
Interesting combination of the and shaving cream.
Any interesting?
It's gone. That's all you.
It's come to this.
You're goddamn right. It's come to this. Is what it's come to.
Did you feel like you were able to get some of this rage out of your system?
No, because they're innocent. Just like most black men who were lynched back in.
Oh, it's not a lynching. Jesus
Robert,
Christ.
these both are sacrificial lambs. They have offered themselves up. Have you not?
Yes, sir.
Is your eye burning?
Wouldn't have any other way.
Your eye's burning. Okay.
Well, Robert, give me some water. I got to use the bathroom.
Hold on a second. Here we go. Ready? Ready? This is going
to
go.
Nothing to see here, boys.
Don, you might get really wet here. Here we go. Ready?
Okay.
Ready? All right. Wait a minute. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Right. Might try it on top of his head.
Is that better? Does that work?
There you go.
Very nice. Oh, it's so messy.
One more, and then we got to go inside. All right, go ahead. Then we got a break.
Your eye too. Your eye too.
All right.
Ow!
All right, very nice.
Now, Rob, why don't you go ahead and just toss that baby?
At which one?
How you doing, fellas?
As hard as you can at the guy with the big nipple.
Buenos dias. Go ahead. Yo estoy enfermo de la cabeza.
Here we go. Mexican American. Well, I think that what that is, Mike, is a testament to what our show is all about.
And, you know, they look sufficiently miserable. Robert's far too homoerotic.
He is simulating many sexual acts.
With the honey. Now he is simply... What we're
going to do is
Robert is
leave the microphones
well.
Out here.
Okay.
And we'll check
Hi,
back.
Hi, how are you?
Hold on one second. Stop. How you doing?
Good.
What's your name?
John.
God damn, it's cold in your car. It's nice. How do these guys look to you?
Are they from Boston?
Sorry, we're out of time.
Till we meet again. This is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.
This is the Don and Mike Show.